I'm going to sit in for like a minute, and I'm walking away.
That's all right. You can start talking.
All right.
We gotta do sound checks anyway.
My voice is bad.
My voice is bad.
And I'm going to be in trouble.
Na, 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 na. Oh, that looks much more balanced now.
Well, we already ruined it.
Well, McKenna was unbalanced to the right last week.
Oh, sorry.
I noticed he was... No, it's not you. I sort of noticed that it looked wrong on the thingest.
Yeah.
But then when I went to listen to it, he was like super loud in my left ear and everything else was like regular.
Apologies for the sound last week.
It's kind of hard to tell because you're only listening from one ear because I don't have like the double.
Oh, the double channel.
Right. Well, thing. I need a splitter.
Oh.
Because this is right and left channel out, but the headphones only have the one plug. So I need the split.
Okay.
Which I've just been lazy about getting. Yeah.
Please send...
Or like an RC.
Send Dan a splitter, care of P.O. Box.
Temple Games.
Temple Games, yeah.
To Dan Levant, care of Temple Games.
Yep.
167 Columbus Ave, Pawtucket, Rhode Island, 02809,
I think.
Double check. It's
that.
On the website.
Google that,
but
please.
Yeah, if you want to mail us, just one of the little 3.5 millimeter, like a headphone splitter.
Yeah, I believe
I
so.
I need females out mail in, right?
Sure. That sounds like a club.
Do you know why the plugs are called male and female?
No.
Because one goes into the other, and one that goes in is the male. It's that simple.
All right. Well, I thought it was a better reasoning than
that. No, it's really that debased and simple.
Stupid.
Yeah.
I don't like
it. It's like the male's the one with the schlong, and the female's the one with the boy.
Oh, is that? Oh, I've always thought it was the other way around.
Nope.
My world is turned upside down.
This explains why you've never been able to keep a girlfriend.
Nope.
Woo! Boy, oh boy.
Boy, oh boy.
Boy, oh boy. Hey-o.
I have to
Cody,
say, I hit what? Go
Cody
ahead.
Just opened like 7 packs. Foil Nopal, Nopal, Dumb Dark Pact, Ring Thingy, Vring Wingmare.
Yeah.
Cody, bring that pile over here. I just got to read this out on the air. This is
semi-live.
Don't forget the foil.
Yeah, and the foil. This is the darkness that is at least get like Japanese or something.
Man, I feel like I'm a good guy. That sucks.
Yeah. We have Dark Petition. Despoiler of Souls.
I like that card.
Majoring Responder.
Yes. Ooh.
Vring Wingmare. Sigil of the Empty Throne. Nopal Hierarch and Foil Nopal Hierarch.
Wow.
I think mine's pretty good, too.
What did you get?
I have a Caves of Koilos.
Hey, that's like $2.
Less. It's like a dollar now.
Okay.
Yavamaya Coast.
That's worth like
also
$4.
No.
Is it really
dropped? Worth like
well, I need that
now.
For my cube, then.
Okay. A Cthulhupid the Soul Hoarder.
Oh, that guy.
That's pretty good.
Cthulhupid.
Another Majoring Responder, MVP.
Coppity Moped.
And a Mizzium Edler, which I now have about 42 of.
Notably a non-foil, non-promo.
That's non-interesting.
All right. Can we mulligan this set?
And yet I like playing with it.
Oh, I love it. I just want to mulligan opening packs.
I don't understand how they found this balance. Earlier today I opened a pack of Japanese and got a Japanese Demonic Pact. And I'm not going to be able to trade that. It's just going to sit. I own that forever now. You think?
Yeah.
I hope so. All right.
Yeah.
Should I just throw these out the door, Cody? You want to hold on to them?
No, that...
That's right.
That Noble Hierarch's going
to
do
they,
some work.
They bulk out the binders to make it look like you have more than you
it's a
actually
very
have.
Did you mention that he opened both Noble Hierarchs in the same pack, making it a Doble Hierarch?
Is that what it was?
It was same pack.
Strong Doble... It was a Doble Hierarch.
Doble Hierarch. Stroble Doble Hierarch.
There is... I can't remember a set with a greater discrepancy between limited play and painful opens. Because this is brutal. Just brutal.
It's Majoring Responder. I cannot handle opening that card.
Fate Reforged had a pretty broad spread.
But I didn't like playing it very much.
Okay, fair enough.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Not another Noble Hierarch.
No.
What? We've got something happening over there.
This is great.
This is entertaining.
It is.
How did your draft go tonight? Well, we haven't done the intro yet.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
You want to do the intro?
What's the intro?
Bum, bum,
isn't the intro just bum. You going, welcome?
This is season 2, episode 22 for July 31st, 2015. Let's chat.
All right.
Welcome to Magic Chat with Dan and Mike. I'm your host, Dan Levant. Joining me, as always, to my left is the lovely and talented Mr. Michael McKenna.
Hi.
And to my right, ironically, the voice of reason, Mr. Michael Fitzgerald.
I genuinely couldn't remember how we opened the show, and I didn't understand why. I didn't know what you were asking. Like, why do you want
to? We actually have to start the show.
We have some improvements. We have an improved pack.
That looks okay. Much better.
So after digging deeper into the box, Cody comes up with a Languish. That's
nice.
A good $12 right there.
Yep.
Exquisite Firecraft.
It's like $4 somehow. Yeah.
Woodland Bellower. No idea.
I love it. Doesn't matter. We'll
Pia and Kieran Nalar.
Ooh.
Solid $2.
Bomb City. $2.
Woodland Bellower number 2.
Jesus.
Graveblade Marauder. How much are Woodland Bellowers?
I don't know. It gotta be $5.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. $5.
Wow.
Wow.
I need these.
Nope. You can't think of that way. Be happy with your Woodland Bellowers.
My fiance opened a Languish tonight for me to use. Yep. It's always good. Now we have to do the sponsor section.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I watched some Key and Peele skits, and I enjoyed half of them, which
That's
was
good.
Way more
That's
than...
That's way more than normal.
I have
There's
no
like,
idea what he even
it's,
just said.
The president in college, and the way he does a president is
amazing. It's
amazing. It is so funny.
I actually have a sponsor that I wanted to bring up.
Is it sure. Aaron?
No.
I hated that.
Aaron!
I hated that skit. That
I
was the one
it's
that
so
ruined
funny.
It for me.
J-Rod, no, it's, I think that this week's, episode should be sponsored. This is a little bit of, I want to give somebody a little boost. I want to put them into the world that may not have heard about them otherwise. Walter Palmer is a dentist from the great state of Minnesota.
I'm pretty sure everyone in the world knows him now.
I'm just saying in case somebody were under a rock, this week's episode
or
is sponsored by the beautiful worldwide effort to burn down Walter Palmer's life, because he is one of the really uniquely horrible people on the planet who decided to take a life of relative ease and wealth and use it to go hunt beautiful animals and kill them illegally in other countries.
Air quotes around hunt there.
Yes, yeah.
When
you lure,
there it is. Bam.
When you lure a lion out of a national park and then shoot it with a bow from behind a tree while it's eating in a spotlight, and then go home with these pictures of yourself as a hunter. I think hate is a very strong word. I hate people who are big game hunters. I hate their arguments. I hate the, like, I'm honoring this animal. It would only live for 12 years, but when I butcher it, carve it up, and put it in my house, it lives forever. I hate these people. I'm not a big fan of death, and accordingly, I don't want anything physically unpleasant to happen to Walter Palmer, but if his business closes and he ends up on the street destitute, I will not be upset. I myself left him a charming message on his Yelp page, suggesting that I personally wouldn't allow somebody like that near my children's mouths. But yeah, so Walter Palmer, go to hell. Go there. At a time appropriate to your normal life cycle.
This is one of these moments where you wish a hell actually existed.
Yeah, you know, yeah. What a lousy, you know, but the void isn't going to be kind of that kind of person either. I've been so disgusted. And it's like, you know, there's a lot of horrible shit in the world, and humans are terrible to each other. And I feel like I do my due diligence to bringing that stuff up and talking about it. But when you see somebody who's like, you know how I'm really going to validate myself? You see that beautiful creature over there that's barely hanging onto this earth with us around anyway? I'm gonna sneak it out of its safe place illegally, and I'm gonna shoot it with an arrow so I can tell my friends I'm a big game hunter.
Well, to be fair,
fuck
he only
that guy.
Injured it. And then he tracked
oh, that's right.
it for like 48
oh, yeah.
hours
it bled
and
to
then
death.
Killed it.
Oh my God. I'm so not the sort of person who's like, I'm going to see you in prison. I'm going to beat you up. But I would shove Walter Palmer over. I would shove him in a bank of snow.
Yeah.
So in case anybody missed it, I feel like sometimes Magic players have their head underground. It's tough. You know, you get a
well,
job.
They are
on stuff.
The internet listening to this. So yes. I figure they've heard it.
What a piece of garbage.
And if this is your first time on the internet, welcome to the internet. There's porn.
Go home. Leave now.
Yeah, you don't want this.
It gets worse than this.
You know who else we're hosted by, though?
Who's
Walter
that?
Walter Paliota? Was that his name?
Magic
Palmer.
Chat.
Palmer.
MTGcast.com.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All the
going
sharks
over.
You could ever want.
They host us. They're great. They do a lot of work for free. You should give them some money. We'll give you some
Make
tokens.
Make of the Gathering. It's a great game.
Yep. We should start talking about Magic. Oh, you know what? Speaking about magic.
I love how that basically sums up every episode we've ever done.
You know what?
We should start focusing on, ooh,
wait. Yeah.
What's ooh, a that? Rabbit.
I have a thing.
Ooh, a rabbit. I wish that was our chicken.
Oh, look, a puppy.
Oh, my God.
We definitely have ADD issues. There's no doubt about it.
There's some concern about focus.
I ran across a documentary on YouTube earlier today about the Big Dig.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's also we have two sponsors.
The Big Dig?
No, the state of Boston.
The other sponsor is Boston 2024's Olympic bid.
Which is defunct?
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's burning as well. It's burning next to Walter Palmer's
career. That one is
already
burning.
Fuck John Fish. Fuck the rich cats trying to have a party
fuck
in my backyard
fish.
And stick me with the bill. If anybody listening to this podcast is coming out of this going, darn it, we're going to miss those games, come talk to me. I have a lot. I'm not going to burden you here now, but fuck Boston 2024. Up with the proletariat. Very angry.
Proletariat.
But it was good. Yeah. A victory. Well, a few times I can remember working class people and the citizenry winning out over private money and corrupt politicians like
Marty happen often.
One-term Walsh.
It does not happen often. I ran across this documentary about the Big Dig, which for those of you listening who may not know, this is the major tunnel project in Boston that started some decades ago. Where they sunk I-93, the main artery, underground to build a park because, you know. And I am actually terrified to ride the subways in Boston now. Because
what?
I saw exactly what they did in what the Four Point Channel, where they built this tunnel 4 feet above the ancient Red Line.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there watching this and thinking, if they miss their dig by 4 feet, the ocean starts to fill the Red Line.
Yeah.
And Boston is destroyed. Millions of people die. And
well,
I
don't know
like,
about that.
Like six.
Like everybody riding the red line at the moment it gets breached is dead.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be millions of people. It'd be like...
Hundreds of thousands?
It barely runs.
No.
It's like, it's gonna be like eight people down there and they're late.
I was just, like, to put this, you know, tens of thousands of tons worth of concrete tubing on top of a subway line that was built during World War I, they put up these, like, concrete pilings around it and set these huge things on top of it. I'm thinking if one of those pilings let go, if they miss their dig, if part of the lifting equipment breaks and something slips, that's a fucking disaster
four
and a half.
4 feet is not a lot of feet.
It's not a lot of room.
It's kind of... So this is the thing. The Big Dig's one of those funny...
Not to mention the tunnel killed someone and leaks like a sieve, but...
Oh, yeah.
Can we talk about magic?
No.
Yeah, we will.
There's something really beautiful about the Big Dig now that it's done, which is to say it is actually the largest construction project in human history. Like on a square footage basis, it's the biggest thing humans ever undertook. And although you're right, the margins were narrow, and as with all things in America, the infrastructure that was created needed more maintenance than it's been getting over that period of time. They nailed it. Now it was corrupt and they padded pockets and cost overruns were massive. But from an engineering perspective, it's pretty impressive.
It is an amazing achievement.
It's
it really
pretty
is.
Impressive. And
Despite the leaks.
Which I actually think I don't know if there are any big tunnels that don't. I think that's sort of, when you're dealing with water, you kind of run the risk of pressure swelling and stuff like that. I don't know that. Yes. So you're right. I mean, it's a bit of a fuckery, but it's amazing too.
It is amazing.
It's an amazing,
I mean,
fuckery.
If you look at the technical things of what they did, it's groundbreaking, but stunning. Anyway,
in the short, for people who are like, well, then why couldn't we do the Olympics? It's because we don't need it, and because the one thing that the Big Dig guaranteed was massive cost overruns in the billions upon billions upon billions of dollars, and the only people who foot that bill are us.
I took a certain amount of pride when that construction project made it to Tom Brokaw's Fleecing of America on NBC Nightly News.
It was a magnificent fleecing job.
I wept a little bit.
How long is the project going to take? Don't even worry about it. Well, what are we paying you? An undetermined amount of money. Sounds good. Yeah, I'll sign that up. I'll sign up the city for that.
It was, a 30-year, 10-year project, right?
Yeah. As is traditional in city politics.
McKenna's being very quiet over
here. He is.
He has nothing to say
about
this. He doesn't. Yeah, he's a Rhode Islander. He wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Building project.
Safe.
Pothole filling? Yeah.
Nice and safe in Rhode Island. There's six people.
There's six people and no baseball team.
Not a single dig.
We should talk about some limited intelligence.
Yeah.
So, as I was asking earlier, how'd your draft go?
Oh.
Mr. Fitz?
Oh,
unless you don't want to talk about
no,
it.
No, the draft
was... Is it
was,
that embarrassing?
No, I the mean, draft was interesting.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
I started green-white, ended up green-black because white got cut hard. I really liked my deck. I pretty handily beat everybody except Michael McKenna because we're in a core set, and I mulliganed badly, played badly, and then that was it. And I lost because I just, yeah.
And that's how I won.
I'm not even sure if, did you play good in those games? You tell me.
You realize people can hear that, right, Mike?
Can hear what?
When you're tipping your stand back and forth
how
like
can
that.
They hear that?
Because it makes a noise.
Because it goes up the rod.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you hear the feedback?
I can hear that right now. In the
okay.
Mic. Yeah.
Well, I can't help it. I like to rock. There, I'll hold the mic. You happy? Listeners, are you happy?
Are you happy?
They're never happy. They're listening to the Magic chat.
They're Magic players. They're never happy. We'll get to that later, too.
So, yeah. I don't know how those games felt from your perspective. Did you ever feel like you were losing?
You went.
Not really,
yeah,
no.
Not
3-0,
at all.
3-0 draw.
Again.
Into the top. Yeah.
Yay. I'm 12-0-4 in this format. Yay.
Well, I think we, between the two of us, with different terminology, have some advice for the people at home.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is gate crash again.
This is gate crash. Two drops.
Yes,
the only thing
drops.
In your draft that matters is two drops. And if you don't have them, you lose. And if you do have them, you stand a really strong chance of winning because other people at the table won't have them. Mm. And there are almost no cards in the format that are going to beat a good start. Like
yeah.
there's not a lot
then,
of life
like,
gain.
Separatist Void Mage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
there's
know, real tempo.
God,
crazy
I love
glut
Void Mage.
Of four mana creatures. And a lot of times you just should be taking a worse two drop over the
yes.
four drop because you're going to get the four drops.
And don't, because of that, be wary that, I was talking to Todd about this. Cards like Charging Griffin, which have been pretty good in some formats, that's a mediocre four. And
I've never liked that card.
That's true, I know that.
Personally.
But you cannot play mediocre fours in this format.
Yeah.
Because if you, on curve, you're dropping a middling card that can't bang and your opponent plays a good one, you're dead.
Yeah.
It's a much more tempo oriented, format than I feel like it looks like. I think on outset, it kind of looks grindy. And
yes.
It isn't that thing. So yeah, two drops and then good fours.
Yes.
And it's anything else you need real good, cause you will end up with those decks that are just three drops. Three drops and fives, and you're like, why am I losing every single game dramatically?
Yeah, Joan did one on Magic Online that was like that. Like her first creature was at three, and it was like, it's not looking good.
I have a theory.
Yeah.
When you're playing a format and you say, well, I can't beat this card, that's when the card should go up in your pick order.
Yeah.
And I feel that way for Enshrouding Mist. I'm always like, well, if he has Enshrouding Mist, I can't win this game.
Right.
And
that's
they have
the
it, they
one mana +1/+1 and on tap if it's renowned. Is that the...
And prevent all damage that would be dealt to it.
And prevent all damage.
Yeah, it's really powerful. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Cause there's a couple of cards.
Cause there are a lot of formats where that card isn't spectacular. And
yeah.
I think this
yeah.
is one where it's just crazy.
Titan Strength seems very good in this
yeah.
format.
Cause
it's essentially
a lot of 2/2s bouncing
thing.
Into, there's a lot of X2s, like
yes.
a crazy number of X2s.
I lived in fear of that cause it makes so many, takes so many good combats and makes them horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because it's Titan Strength more than at any other time because there's so many, like, just having it available to kill their good card with your Thopter token is pretty real.
Yeah. And it gets through a lot more than most formats where you actually just want to dome them
right.
with it.
Scry seems super good in every instance where it's available.
Yes, Sigild Scryfish
Scry
seems
been
great.
Bad? I mean,
no, I think it's more important. I mean, it almost didn't matter in Theros because the games were over so fast, so we never really got to take advantage of it. Here, you really need to be playing something good every turn. There's no time, so being able to scry away garbage is, I think, really meaningful.
Yeah, is Visionary still good in this set? Do you think?
I haven't
yeah,
played
I think
it yet.
It's fine. Yeah.
yeah. Visionary, it's hard for Visionary to be bad, especially
that's
if all you're doing
ideal,
is
yeah, but
yeah.
drawing a card and getting in front of their Renown guy. That's
no,
fine.
No, it's certainly fine.
By the way, get in front of their Renown dude unless you're playing blue.
Yeah,
don't
pretty much.
Just please
don't lose to their Renown.
Yeah. Yeah, don't let the Topin Freeblade through once, yeah, thinking that you'll deal with it later. Like you're not,
you
you're just gonna die.
Yeah.
Also, kill the Topin Freeblade, Mythic Commons,
Draft Whirler Rogue.
Yeah,
that's about.
That's a pretty. That's a given. Yeah, there are some fours that you can go ahead and take.
Yeah.
I really like it. I'm enjoying. Like we almost, I think we almost forewent a second or forewent podcasting because to draft again. It's a really,
you almost did.
Yeah, I really love this format.
Anyway,
yeah, I really love this format.
Well,
corset.
Year.
Yeah, I always love
nice
corsets.
Nice playable corsets.
Except also, the last one. I hated the last one. I take that back.
M15.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad. I figured it out. Bonded Construct is so that people play, can play control because it lets those decks just drop something
in the way.
Yeah,
it's actually not an aggressive card in this format.
Yeah, no, not
at
all.
That's the 3-mana 4/4.
No, the 1-mana, the 1-mana 2/1 that can only attack with other things.
Oh.
It's just Reeve's Soul.
Yeah.
For one colorless.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
It's not that. It's fine.
Yeah. But it just says, I'm gonna play this card and then you can come into me or you can try and remove it or whatever. Oh, Fiery Impulse. That was the other one that's way better even than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, it's insane, yeah.
Yeah,
that felt great.
That did me in. Cool format. How'd you do, Dan?
2-2, including a bye.
Hey!
I did hit Value Town, though.
Yeah?
I cast Nissa's Revelation into a Vastwood Gorger.
The exact opposite of everything I've suggested about this format.
That sounds good. Well, I mean, yeah,
I know, it's
take
just
into
funny.
Consideration.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a card. Speaking
things,
of mediocre four drops. Every time I've now seen Aspiring Aeronaut cast, the person who cast it has lost the game in an amazing
Every time I cast
fashion.
One tonight, I have lost the game.
Card is terrible in
it
this format.
It is way worse
than
I thought.
Yeah, I think you have to play it sometimes in sealed, but I don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had a cast against me twice now, and both times I was like, oh, that's great. I would love it.
Well, I went into the format saying it was terrible, and it hasn't impressed me, so.
Yeah. Well, there you're innocent.
Yeah.
I was unsure. I thought there are some formats where four for two power flying is okay. This ain't one of them.
No. No, it's pretty bad.
Seismic Elemental, still unpleasant.
Because the body, for the mana cost, the body leaves behind just isn't. If it was 3 mana, if it was two and a blue.
That'd be a lovely card.
That would be good. Yeah, but at 4 mana, it's just basically pretty close to unplayable.
Yeah. Okay, let's get out of Limited. We know how much people love it.
Hey, some one of our listeners. Hasn't said whether or not he likes Limited.
I bet I'll just assume that he hates it.
Cody said he enjoyed it, and Cody's over there.
Hey, all right.
Is Cody a listener?
Yes.
You didn't know that?
Come on.
Cody gone to mtgcast.com and signed up?
He has. He said he has.
Yay, he has. I don't know. We got any. I've been enjoying. I mean,
another one of our listeners got second at a pre-TQ and won a foil Goyf.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. That was
friend of the show,
Stevel,
who I taught how to play Splinter Twin in a day. He won a foil Goyf. No, he actually played well, and he played main deck Karanos and crushed people with it.
Weird.
Yep.
I love that.
Savage Tech. I love it.
Oh, I love that.
I wonder where he heard that one.
It's gonna be mad funny when Dramoka's Command ends up in,
Lima was playing it in Junk.
Was he?
Yeah, he's playing it in the board, cause it's just a better card than, Unravel the Aether.
Yeah.
Oh god, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't even think of it either. It was really smart.
Yeah.
The, Aether Vial, the Death and Taxes-y sort of deck seem like they'd be okay right now. I don't know why nobody plays them. Is it just nobody has the cards? I don't like them. I don't understand.
Because you're playing creatures against Primeval Titan, I don't know.
I think
it's a hostile environment for it.
I suppose you know what it is. I'm thinking about around here, and I just don't. There's not a lot of Amulet Bloom, but you're right.
There's like
broader meta.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah,
yeah. So I've run into a couple of those online, like the mid range green white or junk kind of decks, and they're pretty solid.
I think I just like them too much, to be honest.
They're just the thing is they're really good. They're really efficient. They're really fair going up against like. Bloom, Titan Bloom.
Yes.
That's just gonna get crushed.
How do you feel about them not banning the pieces? Were you?
It's planned. They did it for the last Modern Pro Tour when they were like, well, they're gonna obviously ban or unban something. The next one, I believe. So in 3 months, there'll be a ban list to shake it up so you have a fresh Modern Pro Tour.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was very happy that they were just sort of like, you all deal with it. This is fine. I like that.
Ban Gristlebrand and ban...
Oh, God, no.
No, God, yes.
Not Gristlebrand.
Of course you ban Gristlebrand. He's the card... fucking Yawgmoth's bargain. Like,
Gristlebrand is way too good.
Like, if you ban Goryeo's Vengeance, eventually they'll have to ban something else in the future where... There's another great Gristlebrand deck.
Just way too emotionally attached to Gristlebrand to want to see
it. I get it.
It should have been banned in Legacy. Like, or unbanned Yawgmoth's Bargain. What the fuck? Like, it's so absurd.
It's a...
No, Show and Tell is what needs to be banned.
Well, I feel that. I'll always feel that way. Yeah. It's a stupid card.
Like, that's what makes Gristlebrand good.
And Modern does not need...
It's what enables Gristlebrand to function. Yeah.
Modern doesn't need Gristlebrand. Especially because it doesn't even redress the twin balance. It's not like that's the deck that's going through and winning it all, right? Like, there's so many people like, we need to fix it, and so the twin isn't like the deck by which the format goes. And then people keep being like, no, we need to keep playing this deck that doesn't significantly impact the format. I just don't.
Well, generally I feel that if you see a top 8 list without, even like a top 16 without a deck, then there's no problem.
Right.
And a lot of times in Modern, I just see, I don't know if it's just areas or whatever, but you'll see a top 8, top 16 without a twin list. You'll see it without an Amulet Bloom. Yeah. You'll see it without something. Which means that the format's probably balanced, but I don't think it's good.
Right.
Sup? Someone just honked at us.
Yeah, I know. Our listeners probably didn't hear it, though, but.
But I was pleased. That's an interesting take, because I was sitting on the notion that Wizards was finally going like, just deal with your own problems. You got a dumb combo deck. Hate it out. Like,
yeah.
Which nobody does. Nobody goes in with Amulet Bloom. They just go, I'm going to lose to it. And I'm like, yeah, you are. Like, you refuse to, if you refuse to do anything to your list to beat it, you will lose to it. And I feel like a lot of people take that approach. They're like, I can't do anything. I'm like, have you thought about it or tried? I don't think there's a huge effort.
With the Goryeo's Vengeance deck, though, a lot of the times I've played against it twice and I beat it twice just because my opponent didn't play correctly. And had they done that, I never could have won. And that's a very frustrating feeling. Just like, I have no idea how to beat it.
Right.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Hope I draw a spell? I don't know. I did V-click in response to a, Through the Breach. That felt pretty good.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, I'll take your, World Spine Worm and you'll put a Simeon Spirit Guide into play. Let's go to our next game.
keep talking. I'm typing for a second.
Who are you talking to?
I'm typing.
Oh.
Typing important things.
I just, typing a very important thing.
My computer is only used for communication.
He's writing next week's show notes. Thank you for visiting MTG Shark. You can message Dan at.
This is...
No, I came up with another head-to-head criteria.
Oh!
I have a list of 25 now.
Holy shit,
that's
we don't have a die that can
five.
Do that.
I'll do a re- I was gonna say I'll do a random number generator
online.
That's
a good idea, Giancarlo.
Should I quickly go over listener
really
Steven's question about the mirror
matches?
I would
love that.
Yeah,
that sounds
go
great.
Oh, we should move on to, I don't know, some other section in Limited. I'm glad we had all this Modern talk in Limited. Magic News, we'll call it.
People
that
don't.
Fine.
No, this is Ask Mike.
Like, Guru Twin.
Oh,
or
this is Ask Mike.
Yeah.
Splinter Guru. I don't know. How do I teach the people how to play Twin?
McKenna says.
It has to be Splinter. I want Guru in there. Can we have Love Guru with, what's that guy's name? Mike Myers.
Deceiver Guru. Pester Guru.
Exarch Friend.
Oh, I could get a little clip of like that Indian music to wee 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 scimitar.
Wow.
Going
wow.
What do you
can we get some of that wee 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 music going? Let's run it back.
Wee
wee wee wee wee wee wee wee. Chosen one. Wee wee wee. They're
Wait.
Making a second one. I'm pumped.
Second one what?
Kung Pao, End of the Fist.
I know! I'm so pumped!
Man, that movie was so good except for the cow scene. Oh, it was so great.
What?
Wait, you haven't seen that movie?
No.
Dude,
what
Kung
movie?
Pao, End of the Fist.
What does he say? He's like, something about a necklace, and then the guy goes, that's a lot of nuts! Just yells it at him. It's so great.
There was this blissful
not currently
time.
Familiar to me.
We got Shaolin Soccer. We got Kung Fu Hustle. We got Kung Pao Into the Fist. We got all kinds of these great sort of goofy, call it what it is, whitesploitation kung fu movies.
Kung Fury.
Kung what?
Kung Fury.
I don't remember that one.
You haven't seen Kung
it's
Fury?
It's new-ish.
Oh,
it's new-ish. The one that got like crowdfunded or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that was funny.
That was super funny. It's only like 45 minutes. Which, by the way, Ant-Man was a good movie.
I can't wait. I want to see it so bad.
I've seen it. It was fun.
So I haven't seen it yet.
Yep.
I love Paul Rudd.
A lot of people I know really enjoyed it and thought it was a lot of fun. The great frustration that I foresee going in is that Evangeline Lilly's character is apparently basically a genius ninja who works at the place where the suit they're trying to steal or whatever is. And for some reason they're like, no! You mustn't save the day, woman. You must train this ex-convict to do it for you. And
there's actually a fairly reasonable reason why.
I don't think that's true. I've now heard about 15 people go, it's completely unreasonable.
You don't understand. It's Jared Leto as the Joker.
As a father,
I choose
who feels
Jared
protective
Leto.
Of his children, I understand his reasoning for her not wanting to go in.
That's lame.
This is the thing. If we imagine, but they never do that with the son. They don't go, the son can't be the hero. That's a very uncommon thing where the father's like, no, my son must not take up the sword and defend the kingdom. But everything goes, no, no, excuse me, daughter. No, 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 it's not safe. We'll just get this bum from a prison to do it. I've seen Mulan. I believe that it's funny as fuck. Everybody tells me it's great fun.
It was very self-aware, which is important.
Paul Rudd.
Timing and the chemistry was all great.
That's Paul Rudd. He's amazing.
Paul Rudd.
Yeah. The timing and the chemistry was all great. It was exactly the final battle sequence of what you've seen part of in the little toy Thomas
God,
the Tank
I
Train.
I love that so
that
much.
That whole sequence is awesome. It's a great film.
I'm probably gonna check it out, I think. Because I vote with my dollars, I'm going to do so maybe on the Netflix or something like that. I think I might skip it in the theater.
That's fine.
It doesn't strike me as the kind of movie you need to see in the theater.
No.
But it's
visually nice, but it's not a visual spectacular film.
Yeah. You know what it is? We're living in the shadow of Mad Max, where it's been proven to me a movie can do it right. And I'm going to hold to wanting it to be that way. You know, just go ahead and do it the right way. Especially because she can be Wasp. You know, you got to tie in, like.
Spoilers?
She's Wasp, right?
She's going to be the Wasp.
Yeah, which is fucking great.
Spoilers. Yeah, in the end of, you know, the after credit scene, she gets the Wasp suit.
Yeah, okay. I thought that might be what's happening.
So, Ant-Man will be on the Avengers.
Yep. Which is going to be ridiculous.
Presumably the Wasp will be in the Avengers. Oh, he actually tussles with the Avengers in this film.
Does he?
Yeah.
Well that's cool.
You know,
to say spoilers!
I already said spoilers.
He did say spoilers.
The fucking
already.
Lame Avenger is the one he tussles with.
I had a dream last night that I...
That reminded me of the Key and Peele... I'm never going to get their name right.
Key and Peele.
K and P skit. God. Where it was being the guy who spoke after Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that one. That one was good. Where he just goes up there and he's like, that was a really good speech. He covered most of what I had to say, so.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
But I had a dream that I was doing a presser with Mark Ruffalo because I was in the Hulk movie along with him.
Yay.
It was a small role. But
it's a small role. Even in my dreams, I have a small role.
I don't dream grand. I don't want to take up anything.
I'm just happy to be your friend, Mark Ruffalo.
I would be. I want to be Mark Ruffalo's friend so badly.
He does seem to be a decent kind of guy.
I love him because he's on Twitter and he's just fighting for water purity in the planet. He spends his whole fucking day fighting for environmental, like, transparency and action.
The pre-Avengers interview where he answered the questions, the runway questions that
terrific.
Scarlett Johansson would get.
It's terrific.
It's like, so whose clothes are you wearing tonight? Who does your hair?
Target.
Yeah. He's great. But yeah, so I'm gonna be in The Incredible Hulk 2, which is coming out in, March of 2018.
Oh. Is that one that's coming out?
Yeah. No, they don't even have a date for it yet.
Really?
Well, I have the date, cause of course I'm...
Didn't he sign for like five movies or something like that?
I have no idea. I can't talk about Mark's contract. I can say that I'm on for two offerings. I'll be in Guardians of the Galaxy 7. Where I'll be reprising my role as, what's the name of a Marvel hero? I'll be Ghost Rider.
The Great Bandit.
No. We've already done Ghost Rider. Ooh,
The Silver Surfer.
Yeah, I'll be Moon Knight.
Actually, they would probably cast you as Cloak because you're white.
Yeah.
And he's black.
No, wait, no.
You just summed up Marvel.
You just got it wrong. It's Cloak and Dagger and then Moon Knight. I thought the same thing, but those are not actually the same character.
No, Moon Knight is a totally different character.
I also think that Moon Knight
is kind of want to be
Black
a Moon Knight.
You actually look like you could be the Black Panther too. I don't think they've cast that role yet.
What's a prominent black woman's role? Because that's they're going to put Jared Leto in there. There you go.
Oh man, Jared Leto would make a great Storm.
Did anybody see the did you see the press releases for what they made Apocalypse look like?
It's so bad.
Oh, that's right.
You put it on the website.
Funny.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god, it was horrifying. Oh, it was a Power Rangers character.
It was Ivan Ooze.
Yeah.
I couldn't, and once you see it, you cannot unsee.
Oh no.
How did they come to this? Apocalypse is
terrible,
so badass
terrible
looking,
costume.
And they're like, I understand, we were thinking about having you be 10 feet tall, like our cybernetic, like monster man god, but what
gray
if instead- Yeah.
Purple skin.
Very gray skin, with, I'll note, prominent African American features, cause of course he's from Egypt. A prominent African features, really, not even
African.
And he's thousands of years old. He's
Northern
from
African.
Egypt, and they're like, no, Ivan Ooze. We're going to go with Ivan Ooze. A really like, oh man.
He looks horrible.
Yeah.
It looks worse than Jared Leto's Joker.
Much worse.
Jared Leto's Joker looks amazing, so of course it looks worse.
My teeth are silver.
I started Batman the Animated Series.
Check out my ink, Batman.
on your
because
recommendation.
I'm broken.
Which one? Batman the Animated Series.
How do you like it so far?
I'm only three episodes in, and it hasn't really
hang
or is
tight.
It damaged?
The first
is
season
damaged or broken
it was set up
him?
As like a kind of
it's kind of a standard cartoon,
child's
at the
episodic thing.
Yeah.
As it progresses, it really ages. It gets much more mature and focused.
It definitely has this style to it that
it's really cool.
I mean, it's kind of noir-ish,
yep.
Kind of,
Pinot?
Noir?
Even?
Art Deco-ish.
Pinot Noir!
And yet also apparently in modern
Run,
times, man. Because he's got this computer in the Batcave and all this stuff,
yep.
So somehow there's a bit of a disconnect between that and the 1940s cars
that
are driving all over Gotham.
Dash?
But I will hang with it. I'll give it a little, because they're only half hour episodes anyway. So.
I just love the voice talent, and you'll see, I don't know if you've seen if Mark Hamill has made an appearance yet.
He has in episode number 2, Christmas with the Joker,
yeah.
Which was pretty much ripped out of like a 1930s comic book.
A lot of it is. It's very much Batman as the detective.
Yeah,
and it gets better and better. I love that show. I love it to pieces.
But I will. I've got time at work these days. So, although I actually had clients today, which was good.
I need you to get out of here. If you let us stay, I'll give you 100 bugs. Did you say bugs? Run, Vivian.
So what were we talking about? We were talking about magic stuff in there somewhere. Mike,
somewhere.
Did you ever answer listener Steven's question?
Oh, I don't remember.
It's time for Ask Mike.
I'll have to come
me.
Up with a sound.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to use.
I think that if anybody has a question for me, they could also ask Mike. It could be just a general Ask Mike section.
Okay.
So what was listener
don't
Steven's question, Mr.
Dan.
Michael McKenna, the lovely and talented?
It's time for Don't Ask Dan!
Wow, it's stereo.
Oh, I like that's the segment.
That's a good
Boy.
Segment.
Feels good to just be the fucking whipping post.
I have a question
show.
For John Carlo.
I know answers too.
What's the question?
I have a question
hey guys,
for the moss.
John Carlo.
Hey guys.
Yeah.
Hey guys.
I feel like Homer with the inanimate carbon rod.
Someone has a altar of Harmonize, the card with the force. It was like President Skinner, Homer, and the other ones, and they're in their like old timey outfits.
Oh yeah,
it's
yeah,
really
yeah.
Great.
The
singing
what was
the
name of their quartet?
I can't remember the quartet's name.
The B sharps.
The B sharps.
Like every other barbershop.
They
quartet.
Sang. They
yes.
sang on the top of Moe's.
Yeah.
And then who was it? Was it Ringo Starr that pulled up and he stepped out of his limo? He's like, it's been done already, and then drives off.
That was early on. That was like early
was a great
in the
episode.
Simpsons era.
Are
well,
we hot?
It's always,
no, we
it's
are
always
not.
Funny when somebody brings up a Simpsons episode that I have a fond memory of from like 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I just.
That was a good episode. Anyway, what was
the I'm waiting
Steven's
for
question?
The Simpsons reboot.
Mr. McKenna.
What are we talking about?
You have
about?
A question to answer.
What was the question? I already forgot.
The twin mirror. I think Steven had a question about...
It wasn't Steve-el.
It was Steven. Listener Steven. Steven.
That's what I said.
Oh, I thought you said Steve-el.
No, listener Steven.
We have two people whose names begin with Steve.
You know how the
now.
People's host is just completely dodging your question here, Steven, and not answering it. I'd like to point this out.
To be fair, he doesn't remember the question.
I already forgot it again. What are we doing?
Do you need me to pull the question up?
Oh, if you want to get good at playing the twin mirror, just lose to me a lot. That worked for Evan.
Yeah.
It did.
This is true.
It is true. No, but when you're starting off playing twin, the best thing you can do is probably leave in a majority of the combo. And then as you become more comfortable with it, because you want to just get your free wins. As you get more comfortable with it, you realize that all that matters is hitting land drops. It is a huge, huge, huge part of the mirror. One thing I see a lot of people do is fetch randomly. Just like the beginning of games, they're just like, I'm going to fetch a fucking steam bents. And it's like you had a two-lander. This goes for every deck ever in Modern or any deck with a fetch land. There's like no reason to fetch. That two life isn't going to matter, and most of the time you won't even be getting a steam bents. Just wait, draw more, increase your chance of drawing lands, and then don't fall behind in the land race.
Yeah, until they Shadow of Doubt you that one time. Then definitely play scared for the rest of your Magic career.
If someone is playing Shadow of Doubt in the Twin Mirror, they've already lost.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening.
Oh, man. That red-black land destruction monstrosity that Pseudo and Christian put together.
Hey, we're not,
there's
just we're not even going to talk about
nothing
it.
Nothing more amusing than Game 1 Shadow of Doubting somebody on 2. It's the best. It's the most fun you can have in Magic.
It did have the curve of Smallpox Koth.
Yeah.
That never worked.
What?
Never worked.
Never once.
Because
worked.
That's a turn 6 play to cough then. Because you smallpox yourself.
Oh my god.
Smallpox cough.
He is lying. You can't, cough is there when you don't draw smallpox. It's like a fifth and sixth smallpox.
Yeah, obviously.
Where you have land so you play a cough. They're not expecting it.
No, they never are.
There are fewer decks that can survive a cough hitting the table than you'd think. However,
I love Koth.
Oh, he's great.
Love
but it's not a good deck. But I love Shadow of Doubt. My goodness. That card is horrible.
A lot of people play it.
A lot of people do play it. Well, yeah. It gotchas. Everybody loves gotchas. It's the thing everybody wants to do.
Yep.
Speaking of gotcha, Mike, do you gotcha an answer to this question of listener Stevens?
Wow, that was
I thought
really
you were bringing it up,
I think
Dan.
He just... No, I did have it up. I think he just covered it. He was just asking about how to deal with the mirror.
But the mirror is very complicated. There are a lot of mirrors in Magic that are just like hard. This is one of the really difficult ones.
Can we get the real question?
There's a lot of like timing issues where you just don't want to tap out.
What should I be looking for in the twin mirror? You mentioned game one is very much about who gets the combo off first. And
generally, yeah.
That things get interesting post-board. Is this an instance where I want to board out the combo or lean hard on it? Is it like a control mirror where the player who blinks first loses? Or do I want to be deploying every possible threat to try and outrun them, to try and run them out of resources? Thanks again, listener Steven.
That's not even part of the question. That's just
P.S.
a statement.
Also, Keranos is absurd.
Keranos is absurd. Cast Keranos. When you cast Keranos, you don't have to play Magic anymore. That's why the card's really good. I generally board out Pestermite, so a lot of the times you're trying to... It's basically chess. You're just trying to leverage these small, like, mana advantages against people with, like, Remand. And a lot of the times you'll, if you keep Cryptic in, which I don't recommend, but just, like, end of turn, I'll be, like, Cryptic your land, draw a card, and they're forced to fight over it, and then you, like, slam Keranos. You just have to know, like, mana choke points. I guess that's the biggest thing, and the only way you can really learn those is playing the deck a lot. Like, you don't want to get... I'm trying to think, just, like, off the top of my head. It's not coming. Why do we do the show at midnight? What is...
Because we're playing Magic the rest
of
the time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Is, are we going to...
Vendilion Click is amazing. Just fucking Vendilion Click. That's it.
Are we going to reach a point, do you think, that where Keranos is going to get popular enough that something like fucking Annul is a meaningful sideboard card for Twin Mirrors?
No.
No?
There's only, like, a one-of, right, in the deck?
I play one main, one board.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, personally, for the mirror, I board out, generally four twins, two Pestermites,
You board out all four twins?
Yeah, all four twins, some number of Exarchs, and there's, I think that's it, and a Roast maybe. And then I board in Teferi, Batterskull, Vidalkin Shackles, one Ancient Grudge. If they show me Shackles, two Ancient Grudges to kill Spellskites and Batterskull, which some people still do. If not, just board them out.
Isn't Roast quite good against Teferi, though? Or are you just assuming other people aren't playing him?
You more want to interact with it when it's on the stack
gotcha.
Than when it's on the board. Because the card just basically kills Spellskite otherwise, which I don't even bring in. Dispels a negate if you have it. Hold on. I have the deck near me somewhere.
Michael McKenna is currently searching his belongings for his twin deck. Because he does not remember exactly what he has in the twin deck. He needs to actually look at the deck.
It's getting late. Mike doesn't remember his sideboard.
More gripping audio from Mike McKenna.
Welcome to the silence.
Architect of Thought. That was the other card that I couldn't remember.
Oh, that's sweet that he's in there. I love that card.
Also Jace from Friends Prodigy.
Have you tried that out yet in games?
Yeah, I've been happy with it.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's, isn't that just like, giving them something to do with their bolts?
Most people board out bolt in the twin mirror. So it's kind of just like, I have a drown yard that's cheaper and I don't have to pay mana for.
Gotcha.
Also, if you see your opponent aggressively drown yarding, start jamming spells. That's a really fun and easy way to win games in the mirror.
You'll play a lot of spells.
Yes, Dan.
That seems like good. Playing spells. Good
well, you're playing a cat and mouse game. If they start tapping 4 mana a turn to loot house, then just start exarching and doing, like...
Yeah, you said drown yard. That makes more sense.
What did I say?
You said drown yard.
Okay, I meant loot house.
Yeah,
that's
loot
the
house.
Card I was going
greatest,
for.
Greatest nickname ever, loot house.
Exactly.
Oh, it's a great name.
It's all part of the mana game, because they're paying 4 mana to draw a card and discard a card, and that's when you can start doing stuff end of turn. Like, if they do that, and you can resolve shit then, like V-click.
I can't remember the last time I watched a Twin Mirror where... I felt the person who was looting was winning. I feel like it both is a bad way to be in front and it doesn't really catch you up. And it seems like a very peculiar card.
I know a lot of people board out like 3 lightning bolts and I really don't like that because then you're very weak to just V-click and then Snapcaster becomes a real threat.
Right.
And it just becomes awkward to win games finally. You can just tempo them out. But, the best advice I could ever give is to watch Sam Pardee's videos on Channel Fireball. That's it. You'll learn a lot just watching him. He explains it very well.
He's
plays
very good
well
at explaining things.
And I think his board plan is much better for someone picking up the deck, where he likes to leave in a partial part of the combo.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah.
Well, there we go.
Oh, this has been Don't Ask Dan.
Nope.
Don't get info from Dan.
Apparently, I give all the bad information.
You give all the good stuff.
No, it has nothing to do with bad information. No. It's just the fact that we're both named Mike and Don't Ask Dan.
Don't Ask Dan. Dan, how did you know?
Why did I bring these two on this podcast? I don't.
Dan, I was wondering.
For self-punishment. Really am.
I really hope Jace's Friends Prodigy is
good
enough.
On a related note.
Priest to clear water.
It kind of bouncing off of...
I fucking died the first time I saw that. I brought Michaela over like the next day. I was like, you have to come over. You have to see this. I was like, I'll pick you up from work to watch this one scene from Parks and Rec. And it pans in on a deer drinking from crystal clear water.
Wow.
What else can we talk about?
Where would you, how would
Nobody asked you, Dan.
How would I, the host of this fucking show. I will shut your mic off.
Don't ask him.
You ready? I'm going to turn it off.
No.
Don't do it.
Pre-release.
I was saying, we'll get there. We'll get there. We'll get there.
No, let's go right into it. Let's hop
into
it.
No, I have a question first. How would you rank the Jaces? This is kind of springboarding off a podcast I was listening to earlier this week.
Turn his mic off.
I didn't turn his mic off.
Oh, okay.
I was threatening to. His mic is still on.
Anyone distant. Hear me? Is anyone out there? The people's
so, no,
host
just,
is in trouble.
I'm just curious. So obviously Mind Sculptor is the best. Easily.
Yeah.
Which one comes after that power level, do you think?
He's going to say
is it Architect
Jace
of Thought
Bellerin.
Or Bellerin?
No, Architect of Thought.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
Then Jace Bellerin.
And then Bellerin.
Then Jace Fringe Prodigy, which may end up being higher
and then
Jace Bellerin. But that's not really a planeswalker yet. He's a creature.
Memory and then first. Memory and then memory adept, which is
no
like
mind sculptor
is
first. Memory adept limited. And then whatever the
living guild pack was.
I think it's
garbage.
Very presumptuous to put Vryn's adept over a memory adept with this. Memory adept is very good in the corridors.
It's very good in limited. Well, I suppose it.
No, it's been a very good standard card. It shows up in some funny place. I think that's a good card.
It's way worse than Vryn's Project.
All right. Well, I haven't played with it yet.
I haven't played with it either, so I was just curious.
I've been blown away by that card.
But that's what, I thought it was Mind Sculptor and then Architect of Thought. Well, yeah. Obviously Mind Sculptor, that's a given, but I thought Architect of Thought was the next one down the list.
I honestly think they're tied, but that's me. I love Jace Bellerin. I think it's a very underrated card.
What, Bellerin and Architect
of Thought? Did you watch LSV's Holiday Cube?
Yeah, it was wonderful.
It was like his opponent's is like, oh, okay, my opponent's policy is not killing Jace Bellerin. I love that policy.
Yeah, I just win the game. Because that's actually what the card is.
Yeah, if your opponent does not attack this the turn after you play it, you win the game.
Mm-hmm.
It draws a lot of cards, folks.
It does.
Like, it draws a lot of cards. And giving your opponents cards when they can't use enough of them to overcome your advantages doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's an amazingly powerful card. What's that? You're a mid-range aggro-y card in the late stage of this game? Go on and have a card. I think that sounds terrific.
Yep.
It's like, because none of your shit does anything. It's great. Yeah. I love them.
There is a good chance that by the end of Jace's, Vryn's Prodigy's time in Standard, it'll be number two.
That's so bold.
Yeah, that card.
You think it's that good?
Oh, yeah. That was the card I was most excited before the set came out, and then a lot of people were very down on it, and I should have just listened to myself, because that was my pick. Like, when I was like, Jace is insane, snap include in cube, and then,
I think all
people
of these
brought me around to Nissa, and then that was the only card I focused on.
Yeah.
And I still think Nissa's quite good.
I think they're really hard to rate because of the creature on one side, planeswalker on the other. It's still a real...
Yes.
I think everybody before they actually used them that was declaring staunchly that they were either amazing or garbage were all just being idiots. Because until you actually have it and use it and understand functionally how that kind of, it's almost like a unique card type.
Yep.
Because having the creature and the planeswalker, it's almost like a new card type.
There are like 50 comments on TCG Player, saying that LSV only rates cards to sell cards on Channel Fireball under Jace when he was still a $9 card and he rated it as the number one card in the set. And people are like, I can't believe he'd do this. This is blatant consumerism and all this shit. And now it's a $35 card and all these people are just quiet. It's really wonderful.
Crazy.
TCG comments, everyone.
It's very
almost as good as Mythic Spoiler comments.
Sometimes worse.
I
opened 400 packs and I got a foil one and everyone like likes it.
Yeah.
It's like, good congratulations.
Job.
Wow, you opened a card.
Great job.
Hey there, good job. Hey there, don't you know.
I like the main accent there.
It's actually a Fargo accent. Minnesota.
Yeah.
Talk about the GP at all?
You said
it would be interesting to talk about.
I'm trying to suggest things that would be interesting to talk about.
Go ahead.
You just stole my thunder.
No,
you just suggested
it.
I said the GP would be interesting.
I watched the GP this weekend.
I watched the GP too.
Our buddy Ross Merriam.
Yeah.
Top 80.
This
came
is
in third.
Back to back. Oh, he took third ultimately?
Third.
Oh, that stinks.
No, he took second.
I thought he took second.
Oh, sorry. He took second.
Yeah.
My bad. He took second
place.
Back to
back second place finishes. Weak. Guy's alright. And, of course he lost to, Shuhei, which was...
Never won anything.
Hall of Famer. Shuhei Nakamura.
There was a lot of subcont discussion going on about how Shuhei needed this win for something, for some reason. I didn't understand.
He hadn't won in a while.
So I guess he wasn't good anymore.
Yeah.
Some ridiculous nonsense.
It was only his like 29th GP top 8 and 7th win.
Watching him churn through top 8 was awesome. That deck was fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
There
was one round watching him, I can't remember which one it was, and I apologize, but it really stood out how insane of a Magic player he was, where he bluffed something he had in a way where it was obvious he had it one turn, and then he did something else the next turn that would have made his opponent think, okay, that's what he had, and then blew them out with a Titanic Growth later, and it was unbelievable, it was so perfect.
That was the beginning of top 8.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, it was really masterfully played.
His opponent was like missed a land drop. This is a very funny thing about the, it was against Greg Orange. This format's very interesting. If you miss a land drop, you die, but too many lands and you die. This happens with those two drop formats. Like you really need to, things need to be working right. Your deck needs to be built well. And Shuhei's deck looked like a fucking combine harvester. It was, it's just like,
format isn't Gate Crash, but it's pretty close. It feels like. I'll just keep calling it Gate Crash because I love Gate Crash.
Origin Crash.
Someday you might say that you love Origins, you know?
I love it now.
Why don't you leave open the door? Why don't you say I love Origins? We're playing Origins.
I don't think it'll ever be as MTG good as Gate Crash. Man, I love that format.
I hate it.
A lot of people didn't like it.
I would have loved it if you weren't here.
That was the format with Extort.
Oh my god,
I love.
Well,
that.
You wanted was it. I was I stubbornly was, refused I, to play the correct.
I looked at that
strategy,
that mechanic, and I was like, how good can this be? It just like adds a mana to all of your. And then I played with it.
Dan's like, wait,
oh
I can god. Drain
I like,
you.
Oh.
I can cast an expensive removal spell and drain you for a life. Fan,
I can cast
sign
a,
me
a
up.
Two drop and drain you for four. Yeah.
Oh, it was the worst design ever.
I loved it.
It didn't even interact with the good deck of the format. It was horrible.
And it had everything I love about a limited format. Four of the color pairs were great, and one was completely unplayable, which is the formats I'm great at. I just know I'm going to be in these like four colors, and I'll just pick whatever's open. Because nobody... Don't play Dimir. The color purple was so unplayable.
Unless you're Lucas Korn.
Shadow Slice. Yeah, Shadow Slice. Three mana unblockable, 2/2. You bet you're ready for Shadow Slice.
Take five. I will kill it with mugging.
And now it's dead.
Shadow Slice. Mugging was a sorcery.
Actually, it was
never forget.
I know, I'm saying it was 7 damage on the turn that it happened. So you Shadow Sliced, then you put
it
on the unblockable guy. No, it's 3, 2, 3, and 2, and then 3. Oh, that's 8. Yeah, I can't do math. Mike can't do math. Don't ask Mike math questions.
Don't ask Dan math questions. I'll preempt that one.
I'm Mike McKenna, and I work in a bank. Ask me about
rare currency.
Ask me about balancing your checkbook. What's the hypotenuse of a slice of pizza?
Oh my god, the mad real world. What's the hypotenuse of this apartment? Or what was it? What's the square root of this apartment? Man, I love it. Too good.
They're as of Battle for Zendikar.
It's too good.
They're changing
how
the pre-releases work. Rolling it back
a little bit. Yeah, going a little bit back in time.
There will be no more boxes. There will be no more seated. Well, I think it may come in a box still, but there'll be no more seated boosters or seated extra packs or anything. You're just going to get 6 packs straight up and one random foil promo card that could be any rare or mythic rare from the set.
I'm so excited.
Yay.
To actually be playing sealed again.
I'm so excited.
Open packs, not play with the promo.
Mark Rosewater blogged this on his blog-a-talk page.
It feels great. I don't like, and Grant pointed this out in that conversation, it is lame that rather than just giving people a promo that they can...
The same promo.
Yeah. That's gonna be it's still gonna be these foil embossed, like printed with the date,
but
it's random.
Give people a fucking Hero Bladehold. Give them something on that level.
Yeah. Hey, this could go in a cube, or help you play modern.
Or like, standard, like just give them a marquee card that showcases something about the set.
Wormcoil Engine and Emrakul were promos pre-release.
This is the thing.
And they were cheap.
Or what if it was something, I mean, it would be great. What if it was like we just had for FNM, a beautiful, foil path? Welcome, do this thing.
What if Origins promo was like a Goblin Pile Driver?
Yeah.
Like,
that would have been awesome.
That would have made a lot of people happy.
Yeah. I just think that they continue to spiral towards, an answer that will work. Maybe, you know what? Here's the thing. You guys, they print a lot of garbage. Why don't they print, they can do this random bullshit thing where they're like, you got a foil rare that's bad and it's got the date on it. And then also just give us a fucking useful promo. It's not like they're-
They do both?
Yeah. Just fucking do both.
Yeah.
I'm really- Or let people sign up.
Or Museum Meddlers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I want for FNM for the fucking next 100 years. I'm gonna be- I'm gonna- this is what sucks about Museum Meddlers. When
Everything.
I- win or top four the next sealed event, I will get two Mizzium Meddlers in my prizes.
Yeah.
Because there's endless amounts of Mizzium Meddlers.
Also, it's a future $40 card, according to someone on TCG Player.
No.
Yeah. It's just better than Spellskite.
Yeah. What?
Well, because they don't see it coming. When you go for your Splinter Twin, they Mizzium Meddler it. And then they can steal all your Spellskites forever.
Wow.
Yeah, all your Splinter Twins forever. Man, I'm tired. I keep getting every fucking word wrong.
Has anybody ever had their...
No, it's great.
Has anybody ever had... Have you ever, Mike?
You know what? I just realized you could actually be casting a Deceiver Exarch with that mana and tapping their combo piece.
I was just
going to
ask you.
And then just comboing off on your turn.
I was just about to ask you, have you ever Deceiver Exarch somebody's Deceiver Exarch that was being Splinter Twinned? And
yeah,
then,
all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just go for
you untap,
a better play.
And then you untap into your Splinter Twin and
kill them.
A different, actually useful 3-mana 1/4 with Flash.
Weird.
I hate that card.
It's
you know what?
So
you know
bad.
Why I particularly hate it? Because it would be a neat limited card if it was at uncommon and it was just like in the mix. Like that was just the thing that was happening. When you put it at rare, it creates expectation in players, and then they go on TCG Player and they're like, "This card, obviously, it's a rare. They're giving it as a promo. Yeah. This is going to be a game changer."
Like Nopal Hierarch.
Yes, people go out, and this is, expectation matters and how people interact with the game.
Wizards can't win with rarities.
No,
it's literally
you're right.
Impossible.
You're right. Because they have different, because they have, you know what it is? They have multiple monsters to feed with rarities.
Well,
they have to sell packs and they have to...
They're stuck in this place where people complain, like, that a really cool uncommon isn't rare, because they open it and they're like, I want this to be rare. Look at how powerful it is. And then when they make something like that a rare, they're like, well, why isn't this an uncommon? And it's just this endless cycle of people complaining.
Well, I think a lot of people don't understand...
Tweeting at Marrow.
...why cards are actually rare. I mean, there's a lot more criteria than how powerful the card is.
People don't realize a lot of things.
Well, so
that's what I've learned about this world.
There are certain cards that are very complex. They need to sit at rare because they're complex. There are some cards
I agree
that are specifically for constructed that you don't want to see frequently in packs in limited. So that's why they're at rares. I mean, like that Altar of the Brood. I mean, would you really want to see that as your uncommon? Like, and have like a bunch of them? No, I'm happy that only shows up once in a great while as a rare. So, I mean, that's part of what's driving rarity too, not just power level.
Later, listener Cody.
We should ask listener Cody who his favorite planeswalker is.
Who's your favorite who's your favorite planeswalker
your favorite
card?
Planeswalker card.
I'm a Bellerin guy, so I don't know. Sorry,
I like him.
Okay.
This is a good guy.
Right
yeah.
We got Jace Bellerin on one. We'll figure out what the next one is.
Tuesday?
Yeah.
I'm going to try it.
Okay, cool, because I'd like to trade you for those.
Do you remember when people complained that the Zendikar Khan's fetch lands were rare? That was a great one.
I didn't know that people complained about
people
that.
People were very upset that
about
they were
what?
Rare. The Khan's fetch lands, that they were rare.
They expected
and it's like, can you really
else?
Not figure out why they're rare?
What do they want them to be?
Uncommon. Because they want all mana fixing to be uncommon. That's like the will of the
That's
people.
That's nonsense.
It is nonsense. It would be an interesting... The thing is, you'd have to balance the limit. I don't think it would be bad for Magic if you didn't have to spend so much on your lands. I really genuinely feel that.
Here's how I feel. I want to take one of them, sit them in down, and say, how many packs of this set did you open? And they'll say, a lot. And I'll say, why? And they say, because fetch lands.
Well, that's the thing. This is the multiple monsters. Wizards has different responsibilities than I do as a player.
Yeah.
And if they're like, the reason you're buying these packs is because of that, then yeah, that's what we're doing. And that's how the game keeps getting played, and I'm fine with that. I don't think that...
If Wizards didn't design sets that encourage people to buy lots of packs... The game wouldn't fucking exist anymore.
It wouldn't have, yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
I want another set like Khan's, where like.
I love
Siege
Khan's.
Rhino and Knucklebit, where they just kept, they printed so many awesome cards that felt like there was a lot going on. You know, a lot of possibility. Hmm. And so opening packs was awesome. Was there ever like a, every time you sat, like Magic Origins, as we've discussed earlier in the show, has been kind of tough opening packs. Khan's was great! Everything was always awesome to open packs. So even if they don't do that every set, I hope they do it with some regularity, because that shit was great.
Yeah. A lot of this set is, it's the last one in a block, or in a standard format, and there's a lot of what ifs, and I think a lot of the cards will spike and fall in turn as soon as rotation happens. So while it feels shitty now, I think a lot of cards will be
That's fair.
A lot more valuable after. Like, I don't think the lands are going to stay as cheap as they are.
Which lands?
Like a dollar for like a land or waste and shit.
Oh, yeah, certainly not.
Oh, I thought they were already up around $5.
Oh, they dropped to
Yeah, they're all like a dollar to a dollar fifty.
Because this is the fourth printing that they've seen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think they'll rebound. I think they'll all be like $3 to $4. And it's just, right now everyone's like, oh, I opened this fucking land, but it'll be worth something.
But yeah, I'm very pleased about this change. Ultimately, back to the original thing, I like.
I'm going to get a beverage. I'll be right back.
We tangented pretty hard.
Wait, could you give me a Coke?
Sure.
Okay. I think I might have to go to the car for some change. We tangented a little difficult there. It was hard. Mm-hmm. We tangented a little bit.
No, it's fine. We talk about good things. Everybody loves listening. We're the best podcast on MTG Shark.
Certainly on MTG Shark.
Yeah.
Which covers all your Mako the Gathering needs.
Oh man, I wish we were Mako the Gathering chat.
I will cast a shark. What? I'll take a different brown soda. No, wait, a Mountain Dew. I want to ruin my night.
A Mountain Dew. He wants to ruin his night. I feel fizzy. So I asked Grant, I was like, has anyone, like, I say it to be funny, I say shopkeep, and I call him shopkeep, because fucking weird
he
people
is keeping
say that.
The shop.
Apparently, I asked him, like, do people actually come in and say that? And he's like, yes. People actually come in and call him shopkeep.
Wow. Yeah. I get called clerk sometimes by very old people. Excuse me, clerk? Hmm. And I like it. I think that's like almost an honorific. Dr. Pepper. They don't even have Mountain Dew. What the fuck is this place?
He's trying to save you from yourself. He doesn't want you to do it. I agree with him. Mountain Dew is the worst.
It means really bad.
I don't enjoy it. I think it's like gross Sprite.
I want that sweet pea zing.
Mountain Dew is a drink that even when it's at its coldest, it's always warm to me. I don't know why, and it's just so fucking
gross.
It's
that bready finish. It's like it's got a lagery body and a bright hoppy beginning.
It's like a
shitty IPA.
It's a shitty IPA.
With no hoppy ending. Oh!
I didn't have a mic to say that.
Hey, John Carlo here.
Didn't even follow up and let us John know what Carlo. Happened. Nope. I love it. Love it. Thank you, Dan. Dan got me a Dr.
You're
Pepper.
You're welcome.
What a guy.
Repay him for in due
I'm
time.
An upstanding guy.
He's a
You're
host
You're sitting,
of
Dan.
What?
You're sitting.
That's true.
You're
but
not
I'm
a
still
standing
upstanding.
Up guy.
I know what the people want. He knows what his co-hosts want. They want drinks. That's what they want, John Carlo. They want drinks.
Stiff drinks.
Drinks are good.
To help them forget this podcast. I feel like
it's
we have
lovely, lovely
We can't keep bad-mouthing our podcast. We get actually good reviews except for Ross's friend.
Yes, who really hated us.
Yeah, really hated us.
Mary from Twitter said.
Mary any person.
Mary any person.
Did not.
Mary any tweeter.
Mary any tweeter.
Mary from Twitter.
Does not appreciate the show. And that's fine.
She had her own style of appreciation for it. Yeah.
She didn't like it? Is that her style of appreciation?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
She appreciated how terrible it is.
Thank you. Yeah.
We appeal to a certain demographic for the record, are not appeasing because I don't think anybody's said anything about the B word on the entire show.
Show and tell? Beethoven. Show and tell players?
Beethoven.
Okay.
Roll over Beethoven. No, the dog. Yeah, obviously the dog.
I bet our listener base is show and tell players, burn players, and people who enjoy the pre-releases the way they were. It's just everyone who hates us, they're just listening to see what we say next.
I have had radio programs I have listened to just to get pissed off at the person talking.
Every once in a while I would turn on Glenn Beck and just watch it.
My buddy, which I may have mentioned, really, really likes Christian radio. He loves it.
I have one Christian radio show I still listen to.
What? Really?
It's called
Emery?
Unbelievable. It's out of Britain, and it actually is a basically a Christian atheist debate style format.
Sounds
where the
horrible.
Yeah, that
no,
sounds horrible.
The moderator is actually very balanced and gives equal time. He does an excellent job of kind of. He's an excellent moderator. Like if you were just to listen to it quite often, you would not know. You would not know what side he comes down on in the argument. And
impressive.
I used to, back in the days when I believed it was a topic of interest to me, intellectual interest. So
he sells it. It's him, basically.
Yes,
he
utterly sells it.
I can see that then.
He's got a good personality. Yeah. He's a fantastic moderator. And,
excellent dancer.
probably.
Hell of a cook.
Yeah. Recent multiple, fourth child, I think he had.
Yeah, great babysitter too.
So that's great. Yep.
That's weird. Plants
trees in his
neighborhood. Oh, I see.
Yep.
He's, you know.
Feeds stray birds.
Completely devoid of ration and reality in his belief system, but.
Picks up cans.
Aside from that, he's a fantastic fellow. Right.
Alcoholic. Can't dress himself.
That is almost
potty
certainly
mouth.
True.
Potty mouth?
No, not a potty mouth. Definitely not.
He sends me instant messages. They're not nice.
Did we have any other magic things we want to talk about before we move on to head-to-head?
Oh, thank God we can go to sleep soon.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, a very
important.
Go ahead.
Very important magic news. Hulk Hogan is a big bigot. I know it stinks.
Free him!
But if you are listening to this podcast, and upon hearing that Hulk Hogan was a big bigot, you changed your Facebook picture to his face in support of Hulk Hogan, you have some real problems.
Hey, man.
There are some things you may
need
to rethink.
I am ashamed of someone in the extended community. I'm going to answer this phone call now.
I just love how every argument is just like, about anyone famous, it's like, all they do is rape someone. Oh, that's all they did. All they did was hate black people. That's it.
I'm feeling kind of terrible right now that Fitz would shame me on the podcast.
They only shot
like that.
A lion. That's all they did.
About my Facebook page.
Oh, man.
I mean, what's wrong with the Hulkster? Seriously. He was a golden-haired icon in my life for, you know, 2 years or so.
I didn't know who he was until his daughter happened. I'd never heard.
Apparently she did porn or something like that.
Oh, not even that. She just had like a show. And they're like, it's Hulk Hogan's daughter. And
yeah,
I was like,
yeah,
who
yeah.
the fuck is that? I was like, I've heard of The Undertaker. That's the only wrestler I've ever heard of.
I just heard it recently. It was really weird that, Lawrence Fishburne's daughter did porn.
He was the Matrix.
Yeah, he was one of the Matrixes.
No, he was the Matrix.
No, I think that was the girl. I have so little interest in professional wrestling or any of the celebrities attached
to it. Oh, he has a great interest in professional porn.
Except for Randy Macho Man Savage, who was in a Spider-Man film.
He's a weird porno.
Bonesaw's ready.
That was
That's
great.
That's a nice outfit. Did your that husband buy it for you?
That made me really happy, that Bonesaw's ready part. Oh,
that
my
was
God.
So great.
Yup.
That was beautiful. We've lost. I think we lost Fitz. You should get over here on the microphone.
Whoa, Cinder was really far away. Look at Cinder's across the street.
That would be the temple cat.
Where'd she? Oh,
she
ran off.
We need to come up with another planeswalker here for the head-to-head.
Two cards enter. Only one survives. This is head-to-head.
I think. We should just read Bill's status updates about Evan Lewis. They are so fucking good. You're either John Connor or you're the pile of skulls, Evan Lewis. And he just quotes all these ridiculous statements. I just want to, like, can I start doing them too?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. My asshole is the gateway to a Papa John's, Evan Lewis. That's it.
What?
We just had someone in the background say, what?
Greatest.
Well, I mean, it probably is. But.
Evan has said it before.
I think we should pit Jace Bellerin. I think we should do another one of the Lauren Five.
Against?
A Johnny Goldmane. Two of the founding Planeswalkers.
Okay.
What do you think?
This is actually closer than it would seem because Johnny actually had some time in the sun.
He did. Yeah.
Black White Tokens.
No, that's
a playable
actually
card.
Actually relevant anymore.
I cut him from my cube. I didn't realize he was still in there.
Rest in peace.
I was like pruning. There were a few cards that I've had like out
How
of the queue for a while.
Cut it, Johnny Goldmane.
Because he sucks. Also, I didn't realize Explorer still wasn't in the cube, or it wasn't supposed to be in there. It's still in there because nobody even notices them. They just go like last pick and nobody cares. I'd forgotten to take out both. Oh, I finished flying out the cube for people at home who care. It's a momentous occasion.
Yeah. Did you foil out the Chain Lightning?
No, I left that in the Sylvan Library because I think the Legends one's really cool.
Okay.
Same with Strip Mine. I just don't like the foiling on any of those three. The Chain Lightning's Fire and Ice. The Sylvan I might replace at some time, but I really love the original. And the Strip Mine looks goofy as hell.
It does.
I prefer the original because it's like a dual deck or box set.
Yeah, the original is pretty sweet. We should talk some other Magic stuff before.
That was Magic stuff.
We need Fitz to
come Giancarlo,
back in so we can do our head-to-head.
He knows more than Fitz about things of life and nature and motherhood.
Did you see this video?
This can't end well. Did you see this video? Did you see this cat?
So there's this fat guy walking along the street, and this Ewok runs up to him and hands him a cell phone, and then takes off down the street. And then this fucking platoon of stormtroopers comes he hands him a lightsaber. And then this platoon of stormtroopers comes charging around the corner.
Don't fat shame this guy on the internet.
And the guy is just like standing there, and he looks for a second, and then he books it. He just fucking books it when they point their guns at him. He's like,
yeah,
because
they pointed
here.
Guns at him.
Actually, he's still standing there for a minute. I guess it's when they start advancing on him that he starts running. Oh, no, Darth Vader shows up. I mean, just hand Darth Vader the lightsaber, dude. Oh. This is silly.
We have learned from past experiences that explaining videos to listeners doesn't work.
It just popped up.
Have you ever seen the video? It's a little, it's a baby bunny sitting at a computer screen and it falls asleep and it just falls over.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it's great.
I love that one. Giancarlo, do you have a video you'd like to describe?
I hate you guys so much right now.
Hey, I'm Giancarlo.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, guys, it's me.
He's Giancarlo.
Temporary guest.
Temporary guest.
Have you ever seen the video of the...
I've seen a video of Giancarlo falling asleep sitting up because he's so tired.
He's so tiny and little and money.
Giancarlo gave me a sweet present tonight.
Oh, I did, yeah.
Shrek is Love, Shrek is Life for the first time.
I have no idea what that is.
Just watch it.
You should watch it and explain it to the listeners.
Yeah, just type in the YouTube bar.
The YouTube bar.
Shrek is Love, Shrek is Life.
I don't think I need to do that.
I think you do.
I think you do.
I don't think I need to do that.
I think you do, Dan.
It's an internet phenomenon.
I'm not going to do that.
When he looked at the kid's dad and said, it's all ogre now. See? Laugh, we're having a good time.
Oh.
Wow, that's wacky. It's all ogre now.
It's all ogre now.
Mm. Like an onion.
Yeah, that actually happens in the second one, which wasn't funny at all. The scent of onions. And I knew it was my hero, Shrek. Yeah, the second and third one were awful. I'm so sad I watched them.
I only watched the first one. That's all you can watch.
10 minutes of your life.
Yeah, it was really
back.
Bad. I think they were like 10 minutes long. The fourth one was even worse. Made no sense. They completely changed the storyline. He's like, I never met my family. I was like, in the first fucking video, your dad slapped you for loving Shrek. This is bullshit.
Shrek is love.
Shrek is life. It's all ogre now. And then at the end just says, it's not ogre. It's never ogre. And like scrolling text. I don't know. I don't understand.
Oh, wow.
I think they call it on the internet the memes.
The memes.
I think they're memes.
It's a meme, yes.
It's a meme.
I think Richard Dawkins coined that phrase.
Oh, memes?
Meme, the word meme.
Oh, memes. They're called memes.
No, just
meme.
My voice is shot.
Yeah, it almost sounds like a man's voice now.
Yeah.
You've crossed puberty. We're so proud of you, John Carlos.
My testicles dropped, everyone.
Long live the king. All over the floor
hey
now.
Guys, I want to play baseball. I want to go masturbate. Family Guy jokes. Everybody loves them.
The kid in T2, the kid's voice was breaking while they were trying to film the movie. So
oh, yeah.
They had to re-record
a
bunch of the...
Can we do head-to-head? I have to go home and sleep.
Yes, we can do head-to-head. I was waiting for Fitz to come back. It's Jace Bellerin versus Johnny Goldman.
I am
what do you
Fitz
think?
Now.
What do I think? You got to go through the fucking criteria.
Dude, what do you think about them as a pairing?
I think it's a fine pairing.
Okay. Jace Bellerin, one blue, Planeswalker, Jace, +2, each player draws a card, -1, target player draws a card, -10, target player puts the top 20 cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard, and he enters the battlefield with a loyalty of 3.
It's 2 Glimpsey Unthankables.
Glimpsey Unthankable?
Yeah. Because I thank my opponent when they cast it against me.
Nice. Agony Gold Mine. 2 white, Planeswalker Agony. +1, you gain 2 life. -1, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. Those creatures gain vigilance until end of turn.
Did you forget it's +1?
No, I said you gain 2 life.
Oh, okay.
-6, put a white avatar creature token onto the battlefield. It has this creature's power and toughness are each equal to your life total, and it starts with a loyalty of 4.
Wow.
Amazing. What? Why are you shaking your head, Giancarlo?
I'm just so riveted by
Riveted. Excited. I'm excited.
First criteria. Name drop.
Jace Bellerin.
Jace Bellerin versus a Johnny Goldmane. Neither
one
is
give a shit about his main.
Exciting.
Jace Bellerin.
Ugh.
Neither name is particularly good.
It doesn't. There's nothing punchy about either name.
So really obviously it's Jace Bellerin. He's blue.
I mean, if you really love cats, maybe you like a Johnny Goldmane.
No, he's an imposter cat.
That's his brother's
he's
name.
He's totally
right?
a cat.
I can just go. I'd probably go Jace because it's close to, you know, Jables.
It's easier to say. So. Jace.
Jace.
A Johnny. Not too many syllables.
Too many syllables.
Go with the, yeah.
Jace is only a few letters off of Jesus.
What? Wow.
What does that have to do with anything? That's so... something. I'm offended. Someone's offended.
So, Giancarlo, what do you call
Jace.
Him?
Jables.
Jace.
What can I? See, I could vote a Johnny here and just overrule both of you.
Well, basically, he is JB, Justin Bieber.
Oh. There is that.
Yeah, JB.
Yeah.
Baby. Baby.
Bieber. Art. This is actually one of Jace's better pieces of art.
This is Jace's best piece of art.
Where he's kind of all moody and under the hood.
Yeah.
With the blue light glowing off his hand.
Fucking scene kidding it up.
And then a Johnny does have a bitchin' weapon in his hands. And he is kind of leonin looking. Looks a little bit something like something out of Stargate. Kinda.
Is that with Jabba the Hutt?
No, that was Lord of the Rings.
King Tut.
Is that Captain Kirk?
No.
He was Captain
that was
Crunch.
Battlestar Galactica.
Uh-huh. I said Captain Kirk.
No, that was Battle of the Planets.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. All right.
Starring Mark Wahlberg.
Do you mean Battle of the Network Stars?
No, that was Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, okay, they blew it up.
Spoilers.
They put an explode button on their big weapon.
They blew it up.
Why would they do that?
Make sure when you build
let's
this,
get this done.
That you put
I want to go to sleep.
Button on it. Okay, wow. Art. Who's got the art?
Wow.
Jace Bellerin, not close.
What do you think, John?
Johnny
Carlo?
Looks like a stupid cat.
I'm going to say Jace. That hoodie is too...
It's too seen.
Great.
Wow. Jace is just, like,
it's only going to get weirder from here.
Yeah
he's going to win literally every category.
Casting cost.
So.
Jace.
You kind of got to give it to Jace.
Mmm, tasty.
Oh, boy.
Taste it, a Johnny.
This is going really bad for a Johnny. We don't use any of these other categories anymore.
Get them out.
We're going to save flavor.
See, that one's going to be up in the air. We'll talk about that one.
Well, that's the tiebreaker one.
Yeah.
That's the last one.
Fitz right, loves to come in for flavor.
All right, so I'm going to pull up a random number generator here.
Yep. 1 to 25?
Yep. Because we have...
We play a game that uses dice.
Okay.
And you're finding a random number.
We don't have a
generator.
25-sided die. Okay. Number 20. You ready for this one? Such a good one. Who is more likely to consider... Oh, wait. Is Fitz coming back in? Fitz is coming back in.
I'm out.
All right, so our head-to-head is a Johnny Goldmane versus Jace Bellerin.
Okay, so far Jace has won every category.
Johnny Goldmane.
And so far Jace is crushing. But we're getting onto the good category. So as soon as you sit down, I have 25 now, and I did a random number generator. So our first is number 20. And as soon as you're plugged in, your shoddy Apple product there.
Well, shoddy?
And
there's nothing shoddy about Apple.
Apple versus everything else in the world.
Guess what would win?
Very subjective.
I'm glad that you've gone over to the dark side.
I just can't, like, I can't own a PC because I can't deal with it breaking and me having to fix it.
Mine hasn't broken.
Yours breaks all the time. It's constantly not doing things that you want it to do.
Yeah, it does everything I want to do.
My computer is very strong and doesn't need any help from me.
It's robust.
Yeah, it just shows me the internet.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
So, this is our first question. We already did...
How the fuck did we end up with a Johnny Goldmane versus Jace?
I don't know. It's random. I thought it would be cool to do another one of the Lorin 5.
This is going to be a bloodbath.
So Jace won name, art, and casting cost. Pretty handily. All right, so question number 20. Who is more likely to consider their time in high school as their glory days and still the best 4 years of my life?
Wow.
Jace wins again?
No chance. Jace went to like university. He went to like a shitty startup, like an NGO, where he's like helping people but secretly making money for himself on kickbacks. He like spends a lot of time at coffee shops now. He has a scarf. Ajani, I feel like pretty clearly is in the like, my father Mufasa died. And then getting to high school was really, I became king of the pride. I feel like his glory days were long. And then since he left high school, rather than, you know, going
he
into the family.
King of the pride.
Well, rather than going into family, yeah, that's the whole point. In high school, he became that before he went to high school. He's like, he's been king for a while. And then he just went on. His friends died. He's traveling the plains. I feel like Ajani is constantly going.
His brother died.
His brother died, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he's constantly going, gosh, remember when?
Well, I'm sure Johnny and his brother, Dimitri, or whatever his name were, they were on the football team together.
It
was Pumbaa.
Jazz something?
It was Pumbaa.
Johnny and Pumbaa were on the football team together, without a doubt.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Scoring cheerleaders.
Yeah.
Cruising around
Johnny
in their Mustang.
Johnny played tight end and kicked.
Yep. Absolutely. And Pumbaa was a fullback.
Absolutely.
We have very different
Pumbaa
life paths.
No, Pumbaa was the QB.
And imagined in my mind.
What do you see Ajani doing?
Just being king. Like that. Is there anything better? It's like he's king.
Yeah, but he became king then. It wears off. It's like when you buy a new car, you're like statistically like you really emotionally enjoy it for the first like day. And then it's just your car. And he's just king now. Whatever.
But Jace like really enjoyed Census Fail for like 4 years of high school. And that's it.
I don't think so, man. I mean, he's been hollow the whole time. He's been putting on like eyeliner and like really just worried that people don't understand him. He sort of found himself a little bit when he started going to those.
I'd also like to point out
that he doesn't feel at home at Warped Tour
anymore.
Doesn't
even remember his high school years at this point.
Well, that's right. How could he even? He does not remember do you think he remembers the lyrics to the Census Fails albums?
Yeah.
Even still?
Oh yeah, I still do.
Do you think that, Jared Leto's Jace was the best?
He was my favorite. He had the best hood.
I just think that Jace spent so much time in like grad school at like open mics at coffee shops doing like folk music and playing his guitar that, his vision of himself in high school, despite changing very little, is one he wouldn't want to share with people because of course he's insufferable the whole way through. And
yeah.
He thinks he's much better now. Jace is a really nice guy in all the ways that could be a regrettable decision.
Next category, fine. Johnny wins, whatever.
Same.
Yeah, clearly, Johnny wins that one. Okay. Generate our next random number. I want to do one we haven't done yet.
That was a good question, though. Did you come up with that one?
I came up with that.
That was great quite question. Good. That was very good.
Next question, number 13. Who is good about calling their mother on a regular basis?
Is Johnny's mom dead?
Yeah, it's definitely Jace.
Jace's mom
remember
dead?
His mom.
He doesn't even forget about remembering her,
no,
her birthday. He can't remember her phone
Johnny,
number or who she is.
Because he looks up at the stars and sees her.
That's
and
right.
Yep, it's a Johnny.
Yeah, this is like... This,
yeah.
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 I like that. Johnny, definitely the more sensitive one.
Yes, yes,
oh, without
oh,
a doubt.
Oh, and he like makes an avatar of his mother equal to the...
Aww, that's really
that.
Sweet.
That's really sweet.
It is really sweet.
Jace just keeps piling onto the grave.
Whichever grave.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Here's an important one.
Yeah.
Who is more likely to vote Republican?
Johnny.
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 See, the thing is, Jace is like a dyed-in-the-wool neoliberal.
Yeah,
he's one of those people
but,
who...
Oh, without a doubt. Johnny does give plus one to all the people.
but you know...
Only his people. I'd like to point out... They're
that's
all
true.
White.
He's just as feeble. wait, is it only white creatures? I don't think it is.
No, it's only creatures you control.
Oh, okay.
Here's the thing. This is Ajani's problem.
You're playing
Ajani,
a white tokens deck, right?
Black-white tokens.
As is typical of royalty, Johnny was raised to imagine that he earned that, as opposed to just physically being born. So he's got a real pull yourself up by your bootstraps, like super Republican. He doesn't want to pay taxes. Of course he's going to vote Republican. He's like, all the wealth of my pride, you get some of it for what? For because you were born? You get money for being born? That's ridiculous. And you're like, but Johnny, that's literally how you're king, is just because you are born. And then he attacks you because he's a lion. And then Jace, of course, is in a shitty neoliberal caucus, and he doesn't probably vote all that often, but he would vote for Hillary.
He gives two cards. He gives a card to everyone. Yep, except when it benefits him, then he just gives cards to you.
Yeah, he's very picky about that. Yeah. When it doesn't really matter, he's pretty good with the handouts. But he is all about closing inner city schools because of mismanagement.
Yeah. So this one clearly goes to a Johnny.
Oh yeah, I'm not voting for Jace because he would vote for Hillary.
Next question. Who is most likely to misremember events during the time they were embedded with SEAL Team 6?
I have a question. What is SEAL Team 6?
That's the people who found the dead body of that
Osama bin Laden.
I'm so, sorry. So, those are the people who killed, huge air quotes, Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, they can't see your air quotes. Thank you for...
So, yeah. So, like, if they were, like, embedded like a reporter or something.
You're saying they're not SEALs?
They're misremembering their time with the military.
So you're saying who's the most complicit in the military-industrial complex?
Or who's the one to boast about things that they've never done? You know, they spent time there, but not as much as they say they have, you know. They saw all this war and dead bodies. They actually kind of didn't see all this war.
Oh, okay. So by misremembering, see, I thought misremembering, you're like, which one of them is willing to lie down and ignore what really happened?
No. This is like the reporter that says he was on the front line.
Oh,
he's like
this
boasting
category.
It up. You don't like this category?
This one doesn't do anything for me.
It's a little vague. It could be a couple of different ways. I like it. I think.
Let's get rid of this one and let's retool it for next time.
Okay.
I'm sure there's something
there. So we'll move on to the next question. Who is more likely to get a guest spot on Oprah?
Oh, it's Jace. He's basically Tom Cruise.
Oh. See, I was going to say it's a Johnny because they have been
on jumping
to
up
talk
down
about...
On the couch.
I could see Jace jumping on that couch electrocuting Oprah.
He's going to talk about the family that he's lost, all
you
the things
memory
he's overcome.
You get a memory wipe.
Exactly. Jace, yeah. Johnny would be on Dr. Phil.
Oh my God! Does that mean that did y'all see Tom Cruise's lip sync contest with Jimmy Fallon? It was awful. Tom Cruise came out cackling like the dead person that he currently is, and he had two moves. He like brushed his hair back, and he like held the microphone out, and he did them over and over again in every one of the songs that he was doing. And I was like, he's finally starting to look like he's aging, which means he's either running out of the virgin blood or like the body just can't keep going. But it was awful, and the thought of Jace being played by Tom Cruise is like actually wounds me. I can't do it. But yes, him jumping out and
I just had this image of Jace suspended over a white floor with the thump, 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 thump.
So Jace jumps over the couch and then throws those weird blue energy things at Oprah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm in love with Katy Perry, or what is her name?
Katy Perry?
Katy Holmes.
I just want to keep her in my basement.
She'll never be free.
Next question. Who would be more likely to be that douchebag that's saying all the dialogue while you're sitting in the movie theater? Because they've seen the film already, you know, like
it'd be Jace because he can read minds.
Yeah.
Because I actually had that happen once.
Really?
I was at a Star Trek convention and they were airing Wrath of Khan.
Oh my God.
It was many years ago.
I bet
two douchebags sitting in front of me were speaking all the fucking dialogue as the movie
was going.
Where
are the bodies now, Dan?
We were talking about the Big Dig earlier.
Somewhere.
There's a reason
that's under
cement.
The ocean.
Mythbusters have proven that you can't find bodies under cement.
I can't think of a single line or phrase that would characterize Tom Cruise in a parody sort of way, because his entire life is like a terrible macabre joke. Like, can you think, what's a line that you're like, how would you quote Tom Cruise? Or do you just have to assume that even Will Smith has like, welcome to Earth. Like,
yeah, welcome to Earth.
And that's, and he has a limited number. Tom Cruise, there's nothing.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
He didn't even see that line.
Yeah, he does.
That was Cuba Gooden's line.
He does.
Well, he says it back to him in a lame kind of way.
Oh my God. Which, we have a new category. Which one would co-star in Snow Dogs 2 with Cuba Gooding Jr.?
I like it.
I'm worried it would be a Johnny.
It's a Johnny.
And they'd have him pulling the sled.
Exactly, yeah.
Close enough. Yeah, that's good. Iron Will 2, starring Jace Bellerin. It's fucking cold out here.
I just pictured, like, Cuba Gooding's dad being like, Cuba, you can be anything. And he just looked up and said, I'll be a snow dog.
Colder Runnings, starring Cuba Gooding Jr. in Snow Dogs 3.
You said this. You said this was going to be a
Quest for Curly's Gold. That was Giancarlo. He said it. I'm not
Billy
taking credit
Crystal
for it.
Billy Crystal is a Johnny Goldmane.
Sat in here, looking for gold.
Oh, this almost seems kind of unfair. This next question: whose Facebook page is nothing but an endless stream of zany cat videos?
Jace. He's on his phone all day. Johnny doesn't even use Facebook. He's the fucking king. He has people handle it for him.
Jace is like really into some girl and she doesn't want him, but he's just like reading her mind. She's like, cat videos. And he's like, okay, I gotta post cat videos.
And this is the thing. And Johnny's like, look, I don't want to cultivate my public image as being just about being a cat. All right. We're going to focus on other stuff. We're going to focus on the environment.
Of course. So he posts no cat videos.
And how
videos,
much we
right?
hate dogs. Yeah.
Hate dogs so
and
much.
And of course, Jace would be like really presumptuous and stuck out. He'd be like Grumpy Cat? No, I don't know. Grumpy Cat's, that's just.
We just post pictures kind of Bengals.
Bunnies. He's not grumpy enough.
We have intelligent cat videos, not that silly Grumpy Cat meme. Because it's
what's the name of the guy who killed the lion?
Mufasa.
What?
No, the Minnesota guy killed the lion.
Oh, Walter Palmer.
Okay, we'll send a Johnny after him.
Oh, that'd be great.
Just imagine a Johnny showing up at your door.
Excuse me.
So the next question, this one's a little more flexible. Who is the most likely to drive a Prius?
It's not even a question.
It's so Jace.
So Jace.
That one is kind of Jace.
I mean, does a Johnny even own a car?
Yeah, well, there's limos.
Trick question.
Wow.
Trick question.
With a zinger.
Trick question.
Nice. Not telling you what it is.
It's Dak Faden. Because he is the greatest thief in the multiverse. He stole the Prius.
He stole the Prius.
Everybody in Ravnica has a Prius.
All right, when did Dak Faden then?
Got there. One point for Dak. Minus two.
I mean, it's all Dak.
Dak Faden stole
Who
a Prius.
Would be the better person to trust with the One Ring?
Ooh.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think Johnny.
I think a Johnny pretty.
Yeah, Jace would be right
it
on his finger
Johnny.
In a heartbeat. What, go ahead.
It can't fit on his fingers. He got those big
paws. Oh,
well,
though,
the ring expands
it gets
and
bigger.
Contracts, though.
It
does
get bigger. Because remember, a Hobbit got it smaller.
He said crap.
It's a good theory, though, Giancarlo.
Yeah,
I like that.
He cut it off Saruman's finger and it shrunk down.
I think that it would still be a Johnny. I think that Jace is a bad person.
Well, a Johnny, despite his Republican leanings, is probably kind of straight edge.
He strikes me as being a little more. Oh, yeah. I mean, he's out there fighting for truth and justice and like
he's
all this sort
nobility.
Of stuff like that. Whereas Jace, I mean, if we go with the Tom Cruise thing, of course Tom Cruise takes the One Ring and tries to corrupt it. He's like, I'm going to wear you. I'm going to make you worse. That's what he's going to do. I don't.
Well, Johnny just seems like he'd trust a friend and be like, you can do this. I believe in you.
Yeah.
And they turn evil.
Right. And every time Tom Cruise has a friend, I'm sorry, Jace Bellerin, he locks them in his house.
Yeah.
And join my church. What is this going on?
Preaches Scientology to them for hours and hours and then jumps on their couches.
I much preferred Jace when I thought he was Keanu Reeves. And now I really dislike him.
Yeah.
He's very much not Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Bellerin.
Keanu Bellerin.
I know Kung Fu.
Let me show you what you can do with this ring.
Oh my god. I like Keanu Jace.
That's a better.
There's a bomb on the bus. I'm gonna planes walk away. Everyone else can die.
There's a bomb in the Silesnia compound.
I think this one's another easy one.
Bomb in the Silesnia compound. Fidugazi, get out of there.
This centaur can't go below 30 gallops a minute.
Sandra Bullock, get on the saddle with me.
Magic jokes. joking about magic.
Oh my god.
Question number 12.
There's a lot of questions. We're not supposed to do this many.
Who is most likely when borrowing your car to put a big dent in it and then deny they did it?
Oh, a Johnny.
I think it's a Johnny.
It's a Johnny.
He's trying to drive a car with those big paws. Yeah, he's, exactly. He's not used to driving himself around. He's like, I just need it for a minute. What the fuck happened?
He's mad. He can't get the windshield wipers to work. He punches your radio.
I think he's a little bit like Vladimir Putin. And I can't imagine what Vladimir Putin would do to your car.
He does never have a shirt on.
I'm saying. Can he ride a horse? I don't know. He's a lion.
These are things we cannot differentiate.
Lion riding horse? How is this possible?
How is anything
possible? In Soviet
possible?
Russia.
A Johnny no counters potatoes. You.
All right, so we should move on to our final category.
Thank God.
Then.
Yeah.
The flavor.
We've had this before. I'm just like, I'm...
Flavor is always the tiebreaker.
It's up there. Jace...
Jace probably tastes like Adderall.
Yeah,
that's
and,
it.
But he's you know he goes calisthenics. He works out for muscle tone.
No, he doesn't.
Of course he
he's
does.
Soft and
he
flabby.
Has. He goes
it's
to
all
the
pale underneath.
He goes
the robe.
To the gym constantly.
Hey, Johnny is out in the wild. He's
have you looked
around.
At Tom Cruise? The man clearly spends an enormous amount of time in the gym.
He spends an enormous amount of time hanging off the side of airplanes. That's
yeah.
for sure.
That's true. Although
he
apparently
does look
it's
inhumanly young.
It is
he?
Dangerous to suggest on media that Tom Cruise is a homosexual.
Allegedly.
Apparently there's like an entire legal team dedicated to going after people who suggest that he is not every ounce the prototypical ideal of a heterosexual American man.
Am I wrong? Isn't that like the point of Scientology for a lot of actors? I thought it was like a Pray the Gay Way type of thing. That
I suspect
was.
That's there's a facet
I remember
there.
Watching a documentary on it, and that was like one of their big things where they could cure homosexuality.
Well, yeah, they do that. I don't think many people sign up and then go, oh, I joined Scientology because I don't want to be gay anymore.
I
think
don't
know. That, but I think you're right. I think that is one of the things they promise.
Oh, okay.
They are, of course, crazy, and as
hey,
most
religions... No. Lord Xenu is not crazy.
They're all religions could be argued to be questionably
like
unreal, but it is actively fake and created by a science fiction author.
To make money.
To make
I love
money.
When someone says, this thing I made up is fake. Here it is. And people are like, I love it!
This sounds great. I'm going to do this a lot.
Modern human
this is
society
better than the Boston
is
Olympics.
Rife with examples of that.
Pardon me.
But actually, I listened to a podcast called Skeptoid, and he talked about one of those today, the Dog Man of Michigan or something like that. There was
the fuck?
It was completely made up as a song by a radio personality for an April Fool's joke. The day after it aired, they began getting phone calls of people who had actually seen the Dog Man.
Oh,
and there
right.
have actually been cryptid zoology television programs about this utterly made up thing.
Wow.
It's a little frightening, the kind of things that people will believe.
It is.
There
it
are
really
people
is.
At yeah. home listening to our podcast saying, yeah, I remember the good episode.
They're all good.
Can we just talk about the good episode from now on so that people so people believe that they...
There is a good episode.
God damn it, Dan.
Are we not doing flavor?
I think it's important. I just...
It's clearly a Johnny.
A Johnny's full of protein.
He is. He's a big, hefty guy. I think he'd be the more savory of the pair.
He's good for barbecuing.
I mean, and we, you know, this is the problem.
We have a lot of people.
And I gotta say, who doesn't want a mouthful of pussy?
Oh my god.
Yeah, I do, I'm sorry.
Oh. I was gonna say something about, like, making a fur coat, and you went a little further.
I had to, I'm sorry.
I don't get the joke.
I don't, what's funny?
I don't get the joke.
Don't ask Dan.
Don't ask Dan. Dan, what's funny about that? Don't ask Dan.
No.
You know, it's funny. I was walking upstairs the other day with my music player on, coming back from a walk and
fuck right in the pussy.
Passing my soon-to-be daughter-in-law's room, and Magic Carpet Ride was on. And she's like, oh, I know what that song's about. Yeah, pretty much.
Magic Carpet Ride?
It is actually about Aladdin, Giancarlo. Aladdin something
world.
Funny and point on point.
After all, he did, you know, Aladdin told people to have sex, so teenagers.
Yeah.
So there you go.
For my second wish, the biggest one ever. And for my third wish, my freedom? No, I want a second one.
Aladdin was great.
I was making a dick joke.
It was a good movie.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a toozy. The biggest toozy ever.
So the flavor category goes to Johnny.
One What's of my friends word? In like fourth grade, the teacher asked what people wanted to be when they grew up, and his choice was a double penis plastic surgeon. And we were in fourth grade. He had to write that on the board under his name.
Wow.
That is truly amazing.
That dude's funny.
He was funny.
Wow. I was not that amusing when I was little.
Fourth grade.
You're still not.
Aw, that's so mean, but no one asked you, Dan.
I had to go there.
Got him. Now you have to live with that.
So, let's tally up here. For Jace, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 for Jace.
That's less than I thought it'd be.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
Uh-oh.
6 for Johnny.
Uh-oh.
And 1 for Dak Faden.
Yeah!
So, Dak Faden wins!
Dak Faden wins! He stole
greatest
all the categories.
Thief in the multiverse.
The greatest thief in the multiverse.
Stole the head-to-head.
Yep.
How about that? That is awesome.
I hate this show.
It's nebulous. You're not alone in that, sir.
Dak Faden.
Dak
Faden.
Faden.
All right. We need to run on to upcoming events.
Dak Faden.
Yes, John Carlo. I will put that sound effect
it's
in.
It's the Pro Tour weekend.
It is. So
what kind of host leaves before the podcast is over? Me, the people's host.
Host the people's host.
I didn't do a single Bane voice, and I know I'd get shit if I didn't. But who listens this long?
Listener Steven does.
Listener Steven's
listener. Ben does.
Ben.
He'll be upset that the show's less than 4 hours.
Ben.
Upcoming events. We have the Pro Tour Magic Origins this weekend coming up.
Nobody cares.
Which is... It's sealed? Is that limited? What kind of format is that? It's
Pro
limited.
Tours?
Standard?
It's limited for the first three rounds.
It's half and half, like it has been for the last 40 Pro Tours.
And this weekend is also regional summer champions from Star City Games.
Holy shit! Where is Ross playing?
Regional. He's going to be in the Pro Tour.
Okay.
Yeah, Ross is. He's not.
What's the Pro Tour format?
Champs.
Standard.
Standard. I don't know if I care about that. It feels like a lot of people are going to bring Abzan because it's the right call. That's boring.
But then people are going to bring Abzan Rally and beat all of them.
It would, too.
It does, yeah. It's actually a pretty good matchup for it.
You know what a card I thought I might see? Do you remember the Constellation enchantment card, the 4-mana 2-2?
Starfield of Nick? Oh, no. Eidolon of Blossoms?
No, it's a different Eidolon, I think. It's a black card. 1 black, 3 colors for a 2-2, and every time an enchantment enters the battlefield, you exile target creature's graveyard, or target player's graveyard.
I think it's just too clunky.
It is probably too clunky.
Yeah. Because I think Tormod's Crypt is legal, right?
It is still legal.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But it's repeated, that's why I thought that was neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be good
for
to
the Constellation deck. Which I wouldn't play, I would just play Rally.
Yeah.
It's funny, I had a lot of fun watching that Standard thing 2 weeks ago, and I'm already back to being... I'm just always hesitant to sit down and watch Standard.
I kind of am, too.
Especially with the Pro Tour.
I mean, I'll be interested because Ross is playing, but...
Yeah, I just, you know, Sullivan and Phillips can make me sit through a lot of stuff, but it's tough with the Magic crowd, with the Magic Pro Tour team.
There have been a lot of formats I've absolutely loved Standard, and this is just, it's boring to me. Just from a watching perspective.
Soon
I just don't care.
Way
will be
better
gone.
Than Theros Devotion was, but...
Oh, way better.
Yeah, it's more diverse.
At least we had Sphinx's Revelation to watch. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that. I don't know.
I am so excited for Thoughtseize to be gone. So excited.
Very soon.
See, that's not a card I'm excited to see gone. I think it's interesting to watch.
Oh, I hate it.
Yeah, I don't know. I love watching people like Paul Rietzel play Thoughtseize. It's really interesting, the things they choose, because they don't take just like the most powerful card. They take this like piece to a game plan, and it's really cool watching good players cast the card.
I think that is a rosy view of what's usually happening, because the cards are so redundant and so powerful right now that I think Thoughtseize is like a necessary evil.
Well, Thoughtseize just takes Den Protector. That's like its job now.
It's just boring.
Yeah.
Well.
Standard in general just doesn't grip me as much as like watching Modern Legacy anyway.
I thought I was going to be really excited about Den Protector Standard, and I wore it out pretty quick.
Mm.
It's just not as exciting as I was hoping it would be.
Meh.
Yeah. It's always good to end on a low note. Everybody else tired?
Oh, exhausted.
Fuck it.
You can leave us feedback for the show at magicchatpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/group/magicchatpodcast.
Why are you doing it so quickly?
Because we want to go home.
Fuck you. Fuck your home.
I am tweeting at magicchatdan. We are also tweeting at magicchatbits. Let us know what segments you'd like, what you didn't, what topics you'd like to hear. And until next time,
keep up the conversation.
Tweet at me too at Lindsay_Lohan.
You're not doing that, actually. So, Fitz, did you see the BattleBots finals?
No, don't tell me. I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, I thought we were going to talk it out.
I would love to, but I didn't get a chance.
Hacksaw wins.
It was Hacksaw.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Ice Cube.
I couldn't remember all night because my computer wasn't plugged in.
Why are there so many ostriches? I was promised only a few ostriches.
I'm Craig Meadowbrooks, and this is my debit rewards card, which is my favorite line from Parks and Rec, and it came up earlier, and I couldn't remember his last name.
That's it.
I'm just, oh, God, it's so great. We will take two bottles of this. The one where they go to the wine tasting is, like, my favorite episode. It's the one where Leslie and Ben are trying to hide from people that they're pregnant. And Andy guesses.
I thought you were getting a dog. It's like, you pointed your stomach. No, that was like me petting a dog.
Oh, no. Fucking love it. We were discussing, I'm actually, the next time we watch it, cause I haven't found it yet, but we watch Parks and Rec a lot. I'm gonna get a notebook and I'm gonna mark down every time every character looks at the camera. Mm-hmm. Because I want to write a paper about April Ludgate's relationship with the camera, which is like a very, very, makes the camera into a sweet character, because she has this long and spectacular relationship with the camera where she, even when she's not the focus of the scene, will often look into the camera.
Yeah.
And then go back, and it's like the greatest thing in television. Or it was before the best show on television ended.
You know who did that a lot?
It is the best show on television. Was
without question.
There is
Magnum PI used to mug at the camera a lot.
The show sucked.
Yes.
Nobody cares about Magnum
specifically. Would kind of like glance at the camera and do eyes or something.
That show
like
ended
that.
For a reason.
Fairly frequently. Yeah.
It needed to be put down.
That
too
was
many
a good
Vietnam
show.
Mentions.
There is a scene. The scene where Andy is like injured on his motorcycle or something. He's
Andy
in the hospital, and Anne kisses him in the face, and he goes, "Oh." It's one of the best moments on that entire show. He's like, ooh.
Mrs. Snakehole. My brother may have died, but I am his twin brother, Kip. What the fuck is this thing?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you have the same? Like, shut up, Kyle. That's my... And then he stands up and throws up.
Bye, little Sebastian. Miss you in the grandest fashion.
Nobody heard that, John Crowley.
We did. And that's what matters.
It's the only thing that matters. This show is for us. Okay, let's fucking shut it down.
Okay.
I'm tired too, and I got a long way to go.
No.
But I'll watch
to go before I sleep.
I will watch BattleBots, and we can talk about it next week.
Okay.
I hope you won't
I
be too bored. I'm really sorry, Dan. I forgot.
I posted one quick tweet about it that did not give any spoilers away.
Pizza? Are you serious?
Gary.
BattleBots.
Just penises of metal fighting each other.
Penises in metal.
Penises in metal.
Pieces of metal.
Pieces of metal. Look at the metallic shit. I can't say it.
It's inanimate carbon rod. All right.
You're pure evil. Yes.
Well, that ought to hold the little bastards for another week. This has been a Green Bullet. Audio production.